If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, ladies and gents, way in the back of the house. Come on over here. It's me, Lightning, from the world famous K-Rock. I want to say thank you very much for coming out to Longshot Sports Bar here in Hollywood Park. Bring all your friends out. Bring your dollar beers. Bring your hot dogs. Whatever you're going to do, munch. Get a good spot right here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Give it up for Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Hey, remember that time Lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
That is classic.
First, you're a slob. You dress like a bum. Second, you're unmotivated. You have no self-esteem, no thought about the future. You're inconsiderate. You're insensitive. You're insincere. And you're irresponsible. A show-off. You're vulgar. You're inappropriate. You're unrefined. You're obnoxious.
And now,
my name is Lightning, and girls are icky.
Our feature presentation.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check, check, 1, 2, check, we're, 1, 2, we're on check, mic. Hello, hey, sounds great.
Okay, blah.
Morning, everybody, it's the Kevin.
Check, 1, 2, check, hello, 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 check,
we're
1,
fine,
2.
Light.
This is track number one, right channel, check, 1, 2. Hey, okay. hey, here we go.
All
check,
right.
1, 2, hey, there we go, there we go, all right, good sound, good
all
sound.
Right.
Check, okay. Morning,
check.
Everyone.
Hello, 1, 2, check, check, 1, 2,
can you
test,
not hear, can you not hear that
track
we're on
three,
the air
track three.
I don't think so.
Check, 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 1, oh, turn that down, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check, over.
Okay, that's
that is over
good.
The limit, over the limit.
Did he say okay. over? Is he on the
hello.
CB?
Over still. Wow.
No, he's talking about the levels being too high.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
All right. Listen. We're dead, Light.
Here we go.
Check. Check 1, 2. Check.
He's
check,
checking
1, 2.
Outside
almost
now.
Done. Almost done.
Oh, what's that? He's in a room of a
check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
God damn, it's hard.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
We're just in the
check
studio,
1, 2.
We don't need this.
Hello, 1, 2. That doesn't work. We're sh. Hello? Check,
mic.
1, 2, check. Why is that so goddamn distorted? Check. Hello, hello,
know,
hello, 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 hello. Check, 1, 2. Hey,
hey
check,
Light.
1, 2, check, 1, 2. Hey, hey, hey.
I think
wow,
our,
much better. Hello, 1,
I think
2.
Our mics are working
check,
fine.
Check, check, check. Yeah, yeah, here we go, here
all
we
right,
go.
Good.
Yeah, sounds good, sounds good.
Sound.
Good. And sounds good, sounds good, sounds
are we
good.
Done?
Way overboard. Check,
all
1, 2.
All right,
already.
He's a fag.
Everything, well, stop it. Everything's working.
It was fine when we started. We didn't need any of that. We were already on the air.
Wow.
That's rough.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, and it's the 24th of Rocktober.
How are you doing, Jim? Lightning from... Man, I was skinny and like this. I know. Oh, I know. I've gained 30 pounds, and now I'm just... I'm a, yeah, it's disgusting.
Why start this way?
First of all, the listeners demand it. Second of all, Halloween is 1 week from today.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
Come on, Lisa Mae, you're with me, right?
I love Halloween spooks.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
Let me tell you something about the Halloween, by the way, which, again, is 1 week from today. And this is why Kevin is leading the pack of Americans who hate politics and wish that we just stop having elections. Just
I
let
do.
The people who are in office now be fired and let's just not have a government anymore.
I hate all politicians and all politicians speak.
Listen to this. The Republican National Committee, this is not just some overeager booster. This is not just some Republican enthusiast. This is the actual RNC, launched a Halloween-themed website yesterday where you can go on and you can vote. This is our government we're speaking about, okay? You go on and you can vote. Who's the scariest Democrat?
Oh, no. You're kidding me.
Really?
Republican National Committee's contest website features scary thunder sounds, cobwebs, tombstones, and a skeleton head. And then you click on each candidate's picture to discover why he or she might be the scariest Democrat. You vote for which one you think is the scariest. Now, how old are the people running this website?
They are. They're under 10. They have to be like 6 years old.
And should anybody involved in something like this, no matter which party they're working for, be allowed to serve in government?
No. They should look at that and go, okay, you're out.
Should they just say, yeah, exactly. Clearly you lack the maturity to lead. Step down.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
You go and you vote for the scariest Democrat.
Scariest Democrat, that's right.
And those same people, when they when it comes to the presidential election, they won't vote. Oh, that's the funny part.
Dear God.
But the scary and,
is there nobody there that says, that's childish, let's not do that.
That makes us look bad. That doesn't make them look bad. It makes us look bad for putting it up. Well, we got, let me see, next week's the first week of November, so we got a year left.
Just a full year of presidential campaigning. Excellent.
Oh. Yep.
Oh. Seems like they've barely begun.
Oh, they have.
It seems like it just ended.
I know, it should. It should really be wrapping up right now. We should be voting.
I saw my first four-year consideration ad yesterday for the Oscars, which are held in when? March. So yeah, I guess it's only a matter of time until we see the first presidential commercial on TV, which makes television unwatchable during that period that they run all those ads.
It does. They started way earlier this year than ever before because they had to get that voting thing up before Halloween. I mean,
that was it.
Of course.
That's the mainstay of their campaign. That's what they're counting on right there.
And I know we say this, I know we bring this up every year, but it's still a great idea, and it's the way they do it in Britain, where you can't start campaigning until 3 months before the election.
Yes.
Because that gives you 3 months.
Something.
Yeah, 3 months to pay attention. 3 months, that's long enough to see what the candidates are offering and decide who you want to vote for, isn't it?
And do they have limits on the money that they spend so they can't buy it?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
They should limit the money. Everyone should be the same.
Uh-huh.
And then
it should be $10,000, by the way.
Yeah. And then just so they can get around on a bus. And then and then 3 months. That's it.
Yep.
Not a year and a half of campaigning.
I like that idea.
But I have a feeling in this country, there are those who would argue, and perhaps successfully, that it would impinge on your freedom of speech to prevent somebody from going out and campaigning if that's what they chose to do.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they would be protected to do that.
I am willing to make that sacrifice.
You think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
I know you're going to think this is Mike.
Man.
You're going to think this is Mike saying this, but it's actually me, and I'm going to miss Dick.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to need that, first of all.
Okay. Well, that's why I wanted to clarify, so there was no misinterpretation there.
By the way, Dick and George have both been rather fascinating. Maybe my favorite moment ever was Dick Cheney shooting a guy in the face. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
It's the best.
It's the comedy stylings of Dick and George.
It really is.
I hope, and I know this is unprecedented for ex-president, vice-president to do this, but I hope they take it on the road. I hope they make it a stage show and actually go out and tour America.
Oh, nice. Nice, Mike.
On ice. Nice, would be great. They go out and do their chunk, yeah. Mm-hmm.
George stands up, makes a bunch of mistakes. Dick says so.
Someone skates out on the ice and Dick just blasts him right in the face. Right.
Oh, one after
the
another.
Yeah, they come out like hockey stubs. They just come on the ice and blast him.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be the best ice show ever.
You know, they could get some comedy writers to prepare a routine for the president. I mean, the president does pretty well at those, you know, public speaking events with prepared remarks. And they could get him to craft a stage show where he talks about all the stuff that happened to his administration. And Dick Cheney could open and close the show. Oh, I'd pay to see that. It'd be
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we need to see if we're going to have George Bush on the road, we need to have him not have writers. We need to have him ad lib every night.
Pure George.
Just hand him the mic and say, go.
That would be a
different show every night.
Yeah, different show every night. And it would, I think it would highlight his strengths.
Yeah, maybe
I might say it that way.
Paid for by Perot, 96.
That's old. That has nothing to do with right now. So another year of presidential campaigning. That's what you're saying.
This time next year, 12 months from today, we still will not have voted.
Wow.
I know. It's going to be long. It's going to be painful.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yes.
Speaking of today's Kevin and Bean Show, speaking of long and painful, Mike didn't actually bring in a bucket. That was just a metaphor, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Tara Patrick's on the program today.
Right.
That's what we're referring to. Tissue.
Hey!
I don't think I understand that. Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah, Tara Patrick, way Asian. Hottest Asian in the world, maybe.
Also, LaQuisha on the program today. Speaking of hot. Shot at Love with Tila Tequila is a TV show.
Hey! Yeah.
Boy,
one of the least attractive Asians in the world right there. Interesting. We're running the gamut today.
But at least they have found the dumbest human beings on the planet. Yeah. I mean, the white dudes are dumb. The chicks are dumb and angry.
Don't
everybody's,
really want any of them, dude.
Everybody's just dumb. Yeah, there's not a person on that show you would want to pick and go, that's the person I'd want to be with.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So we got that coming up this morning. We got proposals gone wrong.
Ooh, good. I've been waiting for this.
People who make wedding proposals, a lot of times they're very complex, complicated ideas of what they're going to do. And so usually when they're complex like that, they just don't go according to plan.
Yeah.
Right.
And our man Omar... this past weekend, I believe, actually proposed. And
how about that?
To the surprise of all of us. And it didn't go very well, actually.
What was the movie? You'll remember, Lisa. It was a chick flick where a guy got his put the ring in a cupcake or a piece of cake at a restaurant, and she ended up eating it, having to go in the emergency room, and it was x-rayed and the whole deal.
Oh, I do remember that, and yet I don't remember the movie.
And she,
that would be exactly the kind of story we're talking about,
and
though.
Yeah. She pooped it out, and
yes,
everybody
had to
was
wait for
happy.
It.
Really?
Yeah, they had to wait for it, yeah.
How about Money? Remember Money.
Money. Yeah.
Oh, the popcorn.
Money put his in a popcorn at a movie theater. That doesn't sound like a good plan either. And she didn't want popcorn.
Because they'd gone to lunch right before.
I don't
so
want
she
anything.
Wasn't hungry.
Have some popcorn.
By the way, I would imagine that Money would never get anyone to eat popcorn off of his lap. Knowing him. I mean, would you ever take that risk?
No, and his wife is super smart, so there's no possible way she would do that.
She would have seen that coming, no question.
The new Chris Angel show's on tonight, Phenomenon.
Yes.
He is posing like nobody's ever posed before in those commercials.
And they show him, it looks like he's walking on a bed of clouds or something. What is that all about? That,
they go with him everywhere he goes, the clouds.
Okay.
Yeah, he's supposed to look like that all the time. And we have a storytelling intervention.
Oh, no.
Oh, fantastic.
Finally.
It's time to get everybody together and sit someone down and say, you're hurting not just yourself, but all of us.
Yep, got to send a certain member of the Kevin and Bean Show, I think you can guess who it is, to some sort of storytelling rehab so that he can come out being leaner and meaner and well-edited.
That's the key, well-edited. So we'll get to that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, so keep listening. Plus, don't forget the K-Rock Creep Show is Saturday night with Serge Tankian. We got your tickets for that coming up. I just walked into the studio to a conversation where the guys were talking about having sex dreams about Lisa May.
Well, yeah.
Apparently, I'm the
What kind of a man would we be if we
dreams.
Didn't?
Bean's had the sex dreams. Mike's had the sex dreams. Mike only dreams of Lisa May. No other women.
True. That's
in terms
odd.
Of sex dreams?
The God honest truth, I've never had sex with women in my dreams, like full out coitus, except for with Lisa May.
Except for Lisa. Hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Well, he's a monogamous dreamer.
Good choice.
Apparently.
Did we mention the K-Rock Creep Show with Serge Tankian this Saturday night is sold out? Thanks, Street Team members. Way to go. Way to root it for the rest of us.
I think that was the plan, was to reward them for being Street Team members.
The only way to win your tickets now is to win them from K-Rock, and we have them for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, so stick around for that. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat at 5:48 for a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
I had a sex dream about Leonard Nimoy once.
Oh, wow.
No idea what that means.
Wow.
Go figure.
That takes a lot of
even of all dudes. Why would you end up with Spock?
Yeah.
Did you use his ears as handles?
Yeah. Oh, how dare you?
Did he
talking
use
about
his ears
a pop
entry?
Culture icon. By the way, Vulcan blood isn't the only thing that's green.
Oh!
Is that right?
Wow.
I have no idea.
Wow.
What's with the poll?
Hey, you know, I found a way you can actually enjoy the fires.
How?
Oh, this is good.
I know it's, it's hard
tragic.
To find any positive side in this horrific natural disaster.
Seems depressing from all angles.
But the wife and I discovered last night the Southern California Fire drinking game.
Oh, while watching coverage
while
on
watching
TV?
The coverage on the news.
Okay.
Here's how you play. You choose whatever local news station you want to choose.
Okay.
I used 9 last night, but you can use 13, 2, 4, 7.
Okay.
And you watch as they're interviewing the firemen, the hot shots that are working on the fires.
Okay.
And invariably, they will interview a series of firemen.
Okay.
And what you need to do is monitor how many consecutive firemen in those interviews have mustaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you keep watching and you keep count of how many mustachioed firemen they interview until you get to a non-mustachioed fireman. That ends your streak.
Okay.
And is that when you drink?
As many mustachioed firemen in a row they talk to, that's how many drinks you have to take.
Wow.
And then when they hit the non-guy, the guy without the mustache, that's when your round is over. You do that many drinks.
Okay.
And then it's the next person's turn. Then you start watching the footage again, and you keep count of how many firemen they talk to have mustaches.
I like it.
It's very entertaining.
I like it.
And you will get loaded. Because apparently it's mandatory now in the fire department. You got to rock the stash.
Yeah.
It's important. A lot of stashes last night.
What was the...
I said, look how many these guys have mustaches.
And they're near fire. Wouldn't you think less hair, better?
Whatever, yeah. Not flammable. That's what I'm
shaving everything.
Exactly. I'm slathering up that fireproof gel before I leave the house in the morning.
Kidding.
What was your, do you remember your record?
Eight.
Eight?
Wow.
Eight firemen in a row.
Nice.
So it's great because you count. It's one, two, three. Oh, no. Four, five. Come on. Show me a guy who's clean shaven. Seven, eight. No. Eight. All right. I got to do eight. Glub, 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 glub. Your turn. It's very entertaining.
Well, way to find the silver lining, Ralph.
That's me. I'm always looking for the upside. So there's a little TV tip from your old
like
radio
it.
Pal, Ralph. Hey, I heard you guys talking about politics earlier in the morning.
Yep.
About the website.
Oh, dear
God. Featuring the world's scariest Democrats.
Yeah.
Do you think guys like JFK and people are just rolling over in their graves when they watch the current state of politics?
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't know anyone that isn't. John F. Kennedy, I believe, I'll have to source myself on this later, but I believe he suggested to Nixon that they travel together in a plane
right
around the country and do stump speeches together so they could compare their viewpoints and talk to as many of the voters as possible. And he wanted to travel with him and said, let's
full time
wow. let's campaign together, let's go across the country and we'll present both sides and we'll show that partisan politics isn't that at all, that we can coexist in this government and we can work together.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Long way from that.
Long, wrong way.
Yeah.
It is shocking to believe this is the same country that produced George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, all of those people at the same time. And we can't find one person who's a hundredth of one of them now.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring it up is because presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich is in the showbiz news. Actress Shirley MacLaine has a new book, and she claims that while Kucinich was visiting her home, they both saw a UFO.
Fantastic!
He's got my vote. Look.
He's got Bean's vote.
Aliens, if the aliens are going to be on his side, those are the people I'm going to cozy up to. Because soon we're going to have to, you know, leave the planet. So I want to make friends with the people out there.
They saw it.
UFO.
Yeah. That's great.
You know, Dennis saying, hey, don't be on my side.
Don't say so much about that.
Yeah, thanks so much. Heather Mills is still playing the martyr card, believe it or not. The future ex-Mrs. Paul McCartney tells Extra magazine that while she was filming Dancing with the Stars, not only was she performing with a prosthetic limb, she also had a broken pelvis.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
She said she had a fracture in her pelvis, but she carried on because she has a very high pain threshold.
Oh, BS. You can't dance.
It was so
broken...
painful, sometimes she had to use a wheelchair to get around. But then she'd get up on her feet, Kevin, and just dance like the dickens.
Ralph Garman.
Oh, hey, Gene Simmons.
How are you?
Good, Gene Simmons. How are you, Gene Simmons?
Oh, I was just listening in the back. Sitting in the back of the studio. I was wondering if...
For those of you who just tuned in, we have Gene Simmons in the studio. Hi,
I do.
Gene.
I just hang out all day.
Yes.
Lisa May, if you're interested in a shattered pelvis, I can handle that.
Really? You can help me with that? Thank you, Gene.
Thank you. Is that Gene? Is it Gene? You're out? That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's not encourage you.
Alicia Keys has fought rumors for years that she's a lesbian. Are you familiar with this?
I have heard
Alicia
that.
Keys lesbian rumors?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
She did an interview with the London Sun tabloid and said she can understand why people would think that when she looks back on footage of her performing in the early years. She said when she first launched into the music scene, she was a little rough around the edges. And she says when she looks back on past interviews, she wonders what she was thinking with her lesbian hairstyles.
Okay.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, she says she never took it to heart because it's just not true. She likes the sausage.
And then she said,
I love lesbians.
Yeah.
Or that.
We all do.
Everyone talk at once.
I would like to prove to her that she is not a lesbian. That is my goal. I'm not sure you're the guy for the job.
Yeah.
I bet I love her so. She'd go right to women if that happened.
You know the new trend in Hollywood for the ladies?
What?
Girl crushes.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, heterosexual women are admitting their female crushes with other celebrities, left and right, in interviews.
Okay.
Jessica Alba.
Yes.
Recently said that her girl crush, Eva Longoria.
Oh, man.
Called her amazing in every way.
I'd like to see those two get together.
I would, too. Gabrielle Union.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! Says hers is Eva Mendes.
Oh!
Like to see that happen.
That's quite a twosome right there. And I'm familiar with Kelly Carlson from Nip Tuck.
Oh, yeah.
Stunning blonde who played Christian's girlfriend.
We've had her in here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Angelina Jolie.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Says she has the lips of the perfect woman.
That is correct.
But she'll also throw a bone to Elle Macpherson, mm-hmm. for looking so amazing without makeup. She
said. That's so hot.
That's a good little group right there.
Yes, it is. This is the reality show they ought to put on.
That's who I'm inviting to my next pillow fight. Those six ladies. Speaking of reality television, Bean, people are starting to speculate, is Pamela Anderson's marriage to Rick Solomon a fake?
What?
Really?
According to Star Magazine, the tabloid, the two only got married because producers approached them and offered them a new reality show documenting their newlywed status.
Really?
And said they could make a boatload of money off of it if they would agree.
So they get married and then they just get it annulled afterwards or something?
Or divorced or whatever.
Have there been cameras following them around and stuff?
Hold a second, I gotta get that. I left my machine on.
Are you a NASA bean? What's going on?
I don't know what happened. My radio just turned on. I don't know why that happened.
What are there noises in the background? Oh. Houston, we have a problem.
That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, spill in aisle seven. Spill in aisle seven.
He's picking up some extra bucks. The box boy. The save on.
Sorry. Guys, I got to go deliver a pizza. I'll be right back.
Wow. Yeah, look, as many divorces as Pam's had, really, one more won't make a difference if they can make some cash of it. But they said the whole thing, because they've been friends apparently for a long time, like 15 years.
Oh.
So maybe they needed a hook for their reality show, and they said, look, get married and we can document it.
I would believe that.
So I guess we'll have to
wait and see. I don't know. Pam doesn't need the money, and she could get a reality show if she wanted it without having to get married. She's Pam Anderson. It's not like she has to resort to a stunt like this.
If she doesn't need the money, why is she a magician's assistant?
I don't get that either. I don't understand that.
I think she probably needs the money.
That's what I think. I don't think she's independently wealthy yet.
I mean, what has she really done that would make her that much money? I mean, Baywatch, she was pretty successful.
Yeah, a lot of years of Baywatch she makes money on. But, I mean, she has, you know, merchandising calendars and things like that. You know, all the Playboy videos she probably gets a percentage of still. I mean, I think she's got income streams.
Here's some little TV news. Fox is spinning off Prison Break.
Oh. Huh. Alex is going to be excited. With who?
With Chicks.
Whoa. What?
Whoa.
Oh, now we're talking. Okay, hold on.
Joy, show Chicks in Prison? Will be called Prison Break Cherry Hill. No pun intended.
Oh, no. Come on.
About a story of an upper middle class wife who's sent to jail to a woman's prison after a government conspiracy frames her.
My God.
So she gets a life sentence.
And then her sister has to break in and get her out. And then they run for a whole season.
Body. No? No. Apparently, she is contacted by the government with information that some of her loved ones are alive that she thought were dead. And then she's dedicated about getting herself out of jail. And then she goes to another prison in South America and they make her fight.
Let's just sit quietly and consider how ridiculous that statement was.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
It does. Let's take a show that's jumped the shark and make a second one.
Yeah. Cool. And if you're going to have women in jail, let me run it.
All right, Warden Ryder.
Know what I'm saying?
ABC's picked up Pushing Daisies for a full season.
Yay!
So we'll get to see the whole thing of that. Which, by the way, if you're not watching, is just great. Just a great show. Steven Weber's got a new gig in television. He is doing a new series called Zip about a guy who has no money, who each episode tries various get-rich-quick schemes so he can stay in Beverly Hills. Sort of a dramedy.
Zip.
I like him.
That is too. He's very entertaining.
Yeah. On the show?
I think it's because he's got Zip.
Oh,
he's got
okay.
Zero. He's got Zilch. Got Goose Egg.
Nada.
Got Bupkis. Got not a lot of money. But they didn't want to call it not a lot of money.
It doesn't sound as good.
No. And finally, According to Jim's coming back.
Oh, thank God. It's still on?
How many seasons is that?
I canceled. I thought I got canceled after like 9 years. It was gone.
Listen, Bean, when you're ABC and you're rocking shows like Caveman, you got to pull back your big guns.
They went back and said, will you please do more?
Yes. Apparently it's been on the shelf since the last time we saw it. Has never been officially canceled.
Oh.
So they're bringing Jim back, and his co-star Courtney Thorne-Smith will be pregnant, and it'll be written into the show. So there you go.
That's one of those shows I don't know a single soul who watches.
I've never seen an episode.
Not a person.
And you'd be hard-pressed to find a show that's less funny. I'll tell you that much.
Really?
Yeah.
Somewhere at ABC, there's someone whose job it is to go through and find out what shows used to be on and see if any of those actors are still alive and willing to come back to the network.
Yeah. Can we see if Adam West still fits into the Batman suit? We need some
programming.
Wow. I'm running out of time here, but when we return in about an hour with more showbiz news, I will tell you about the new movie based on the life of Kurt Cobain, and who will be starring as Kurt.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Also a K-Rock artist with a famous K-Rock band goes on a solo tour, and the list of the five unsexiest women in Hollywood. You're not going to want to miss that, so come back in an hour. Or you can stick around for an hour.
Sure.
You don't have to leave.
No, but it's going to be a good hour.
Come back.
Although you would.
I would, personally, sure. Today's celebrity birthday is Bill Wyman, former bassist for the Rolling Stones, is 71 years old today. Here's a guy who did it right. Made a ton of money with Stones, said, you know what?
Uh-huh.
We're old, and this is dumb, and I'm going to go do this now.
71?
Yeah. Look, the rest of those guys are pushing 70.
I know.
He's not much older than his bandmates.
That's crazy.
But he said, it's good. Rolling Stones have been a good run. I'm going to lay down now.
And, Ralph, how old was his wife when he married her? Wasn't she, like, 17 or something?
She was 17 or 18 years old.
And they're still together.
Yes. Right. Of course they're still together.
Oh,
what are you
going to
do at 71? Trade in an 18-year-old for what? A zygote?
Well, I mean, she's probably 30 now, but I'm saying it was remarkable that he married her that young and they ended up staying together.
He had to go to her parents and get permission. They had to sign off because she was underage in order to get married.
Wow.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sure would.
Yeah.
F. Murray Abraham, Oscar-winning actor, 68.
Hey, come on.
What?
Why? He's a good guy. Why are you coming at me like that?
What did I
You said F. Murray Abraham.
Oh, I see.
See, because you said. Yeah.
That was so dumb, I didn't even get it. he is 68 years old today. Kevin Kline, another talented actor, is 60. B.D. Wong.
Hey!
Who plays Dr. Wang on...
no.
Dr. Wang?
That's Wang, I think.
Oh.
On Law & Order, SVU, he's real good on that show. He's 47 years old today. And Monica, singer Monica, turns 27 years old today. Yeah, she's pretty hot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Why can't they keep Chris Angel on the A&E channel or whatever cable channel has his Mind Freak show? Why does he now have to be on NBC, which is a channel that I sometimes stop on?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, although I do know that I was watching Sunday Night Football on NBC, and they had 5,000 promos for this new show, Phenomenon Song Tonight. And it's always Chris Angel, like, flying through clouds and doing flips in anti-gravity. I don't know what the hell. And he's posing. He's got his hands out, and he's looking all douchey. And this other guy, Uri Geller, who's the older Chris Angel, who's, you know, he came before Chris Angel, I guess, right? Like 20 years ago or something?
Yeah, he's been around for a long time, and the only thing I don't know much about him, I know two things about him. One is he was and perhaps still is friends with Michael Jackson. He hangs out in that world.
Okay.
They're real good friends. And two is he used to be a popular guest on the talk shows like The Tonight Show. He would go on and bend spoons with his mind. That seems to be his big trick. I don't know what else he does besides bend spoons, but
That's the height of his power, bending a spoon? That's it?
That's all I remember.
After he perfected all of that, he can just bend a spoon.
He would not make a very good hero at Heroes, I'll tell you that. That's all they can do. But anyway, they have teamed up together for a new program that is called Phenomenon that debuts tonight on NBC. And we thought, hey, we got a relationship with Chris Angel. Let's get him on the phone and find out what the deal is all about. Hey, Chris. Hello.
Hello, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Oh, there you are.
Okay. Magically appeared.
Sorry, I disappeared, but then I magically appeared.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were teleporting in from somewhere. What do you got going on today, Chris?
I'm just very excited about Phenomenon, my new TV series that comes on tonight, 8 o'clock on NBC.
Hold on, I forgot to play your theme song.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
Okay,
I'm very angry about that song.
Are you?
But I'm going to make my anger disappear. There we go.
Wow. Well done. So how does it work? You and Mr. Geller are inviting up-and-coming mentalists to perform tricks on stage, and then you'll try to debunk them? Is that what you're doing?
No, we're looking for the next successor for the next generation of great mentalists like Uri and myself.
Okay.
I remember watching Uri Geller when my father was still alive. We were watching on the Tonight Show together, side by side, and I've been a big fan of Uri's ever since. Those days, and so it's a pleasure to be working with him on Phenomenon at 8 o'clock on NBC.
Now, it sounds like this is going to be sort of American Idol-esque, where there's you and Uri are going to judge, and then the home viewer is going to vote.
Yeah, it's like Mental Idol.
Mental Idol.
Yeah. So we'll pick the most mental people, and we'll move them on from week to week, and in America, we'll choose who the favorite mental guy is.
Okay. What was that?
Magic.
Just random magic?
Sometimes just magic happens.
It just happens. All right.
It sounds like a terrible show, yet you don't know because it's live tonight. It's not like it's already been filmed and you've seen it, right?
That's right. It's live, and it's not dead.
I see in the news article that you described Phenomenon as, quote,
explosive.
It is explosive.
Now, you haven't seen any of the contestants, so you don't know if it's explosive.
No, I have not personally met any of them, but I guarantee one of them will explode.
You're guaranteeing one of them will explode?
Yes, even if I have to blow him up myself.
Okay.
I guarantee you there'll be explosions.
Okay.
And it'll be explosive.
Yeah. Well, what was that?
Now, what was that, Chris?
Something just exploded.
Okay. Do you have any idea some of the types of tricks that people will be trying to do on stage tonight?
Yes. One person will try to have his assistant put a large object in his rectum.
Oh!
What?
While he's blindfolded, and then somehow he would discern what is actually in his butt.
He has to, he's going to say what it is without seeing it?
He can't see it, but he can feel it. But he won't be using his hands.
I'm surprised they can put that on NBC at 8 o'clock during the family hour.
We're going to blur it out.
You're going to blur the whole thing?
And the bottle of lube.
Okay. All right. What was that?
Magic lube.
Okay.
The show just gets worse and worse.
Now, I see that it's going to be on, I think, 5 weeks,
yes,
basically, and that's it.
It is. It's going to run for 5 weeks.
Okay.
And by then, we should know who the next phenomenon. Phenomenon.
And what do they win for being the next mentalist or whatever it is you're calling them?
A spoon.
They win a spoon.
A spoon that Yuri has bent himself.
Wow.
He can bend the crap out of spoons.
That's huge.
He sure can.
Don't drink iced tea around him.
Right.
Because your spoon will be bent, my friend.
Now, bending spoons is the height of his powers, though? That's it?
He can also do a car key.
He can bend a car key.
But not a really thick car key.
Okay, it has to be a thin one.
Like a house key. Or like a safety deposit box key.
None of his powers are very useful.
On the thin side.
Like a post office box key, maybe he could do.
That would be good.
Okay.
Or like a paper clip.
Now, is he...
But nothing thick metal. Don't get him near a girder.
That's too big.
He's useless against a girder.
Okay. Is he or are you going to perform on Phenomenon? Just to kind of show people what's going on. Like David Hasselhoff sung on his TV show when he was...
We haven't decided yet. I may do one of my amazing mind freaks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They got a schedule here. Let me look. Hold on a second. Ow. I got a paper cut.
Oh, no.
Why do you always yell like that? It didn't hurt that much.
Paper cuts aren't that bad, Chris.
All right, Chewbacca, what's going on out there?
Chris? It's just a paper cut, Chris. You're going to be okay.
Someone get me a bent spoon.
There is no substitute for Bush.
That's what we always say. Let's welcome Omar to the studio, the behind-the-scenes wizard here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
Good morning. Good, guys.
After 12 years of stringing his poor, beautiful girlfriend along, he finally pulled the string this weekend and proposed to her.
Yeah, I did. And she said yes.
Well, that's a surprise.
Yeah, amazingly.
Now, it was this past weekend.
Yeah.
And by the way, she said yes. That means everything's going to go right to hell in a handbasket. You know that, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely. These kids are broken up within 3 months.
Yeah.
So how did it work?
We went up I told her, 12-year anniversary. It was on Sunday. We're going to go up to Santa Barbara for a romantic weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah, exactly. I have an engagement ring. And I didn't really have a plan going in, so I was just thinking...
Dude, Lightning would be very disappointed with you.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy who needs a helicopter.
Yeah, you gotta go skydiving.
Yeah.
Right, for sure.
Canned hot air balloon, the whole deal. Land in a hot air balloon. Right. Yeah. Fly over the ocean.
So...
Then you need fireworks in the sky to, like, print out your names.
Yeah, so I figured, I'm just gonna have the ring in my pocket, and I wanna wait for any romantic, time... And I'll pull it out, and, I kind of knew what I was going
to
say.
So your plan is just to play it by ear, and as soon as something remotely romantic happens, pull out the ring.
Yeah, we're in some sort of romantic situation. And yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So we get into Santa Barbara, and I asked the general manager there, where should we go to eat? She's all like, State Street is the best place. It's like Old Town Pasadena.
Right.
It's only a block away from here. All kinds of restaurants, nice hip clubs. So I was like... Cool. We'll walk down State Street and we'll find a romantic restaurant. Maybe
she
I'll pull it out
could
there.
Could not possibly have been expecting this.
Not at this point
no,
in her life.
No.
She gave up at year four. She gave up.
Yeah, she's thinking it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. So we start walking down State Street and it's about, 7:30 in the evening. And we start noticing, you know, things on the ground, you know, and we're looking around and there's mice.
Mice?
Like, there's really? Mice. Yeah, absolutely. There's mites all up and down State Street. We walked for about a mile. And we, I'm not kidding you guys, we saw about 15 different mice.
Oh, my
really?
God.
At one point, there was a mouse by my leg. It was insane. So I'm thinking, not romantic.
No.
Okay, not even a little bit, right? So we lost our
appetites. Speaking of mice, honey.
yeah, you know. So we lost our appetites, and then we go back to the room. We just hung out, and we have apples and bananas, you know, as snacks because we were just so grossed out. You know
no
what I'm saying?
Kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're like, well, looks like the ring's going to spend another night in my pocket.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So next,
by the way, Producer Lightning, excuse me for interrupting, though. Producer yeah. Lightning would have figured out a way to hire a guy to train the mice to hand her the ring, to somehow run the ring up her leg.
Yeah. So the next day, I figure, you know, we're about two blocks from the beach. We're going to go take a romantic walk, you
sure.
know. So, you know, sunset, beach,
sure.
romantic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? We get to the beach. We lay down our towels. We're hanging out for about 15 minutes. She kind of dozes off. I'm thinking, dude, you know, I could do one of those things where I bury the ring or something or put the ring somewhere and be like, oh, my God, what's that? Or I was going to write, you know, will you marry me on the sand? Something,
okay.
something. That's romantic, right?
Yeah.
I figure.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm about to wake her up, and all of a sudden there's like a big dirt devil on the beach, sand everywhere. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I'm expecting Ashton Kutcher to jump out and be like, you just got punked. Like,
no,
what?
That's God telling you not to get married.
Right? Isn't yeah. that insane? So
yeah.
we're all like, I'm like, okay, this
so
is
she
this
wakes up,
happen,
she's got
dude.
Dust everywhere.
Everywhere
sand
in her hair. She wears contacts. She can't
oh.
see,
oh,
dude.
Good.
So she's all blind, you know, we're walking back. So we
it's so sad because Omar's not able to enjoy this what otherwise would be a
right.
nice, relaxing, romantic weekend because he's just sweating.
It's
all he's
so
doing is looking for that opportunity.
Absolutely.
We're going to take your calls in a second for wedding proposals gone wrong because the more complex they are, the more things that can go wrong. And especially for dudes that like Omar who just wants to get it over with.
Yeah, exactly.
So then we walk back, we shower up. I ask the general manager, okay, you know, I pull her aside. I'm looking for a real, real romantic restaurant, you know.
No mice.
Exactly, you know, off of State Street. So she gives me the directions, gives me the name of the place. When we get there, it's a sports bar, dude.
Yes, a sports
it's
bar.
It's a freaking sports bar, dude. I'm thinking football. Not romantic.
No,
okay,
not so much for
really
her.
Can't really do that, exactly, you know. So I'm like, she was starving, so I'm like, all right, let's eat. You
no,
know what I'm
God.
Saying? Okay. So
at the
so
sports bar or you went somewhere else?
No, we had sports bar. She was
sports
hungry,
bar.
You know?
Okay.
What am I going to say? I'm
you
like, no. Yeah,
right.
You know? So then I'm like, oh, my God, I'm screwed or whatever. So then we just go back to the room. Luckily, I brought some candles and some music and stuff. And I waited till midnight. Sunday was our anniversary. We hopped in the jacuzzi, lit some candles.
Dude.
And then I proposed at midnight when it was truly our anniversary. It worked out that way. But
look at Omar,
up,
by the way. Come on. That's effort right
on
there.
Candles and music. That's foresight.
That's
yeah.
God telling you, do not do it, Omar.
Leading up to that, I was
it
just
is.
Like, it was insane.
Sending mice's way and dust devil and just.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was the seven plagues.
It was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Locusts.
Now that
one
I went through
day,
all that,
yeah.
we could go through anything, you know?
Was she shocked, Omar?
Absolutely.
What do you
say? Yeah, she wasn't expecting it. And,
it's been 12 years.
Yeah, she kind of got a little teary-eyed. But on the
but
way
that's
home.
That's because she had sand in her contacts.
Exactly. But on the way home, guys, I kid you not, the planning started instantly.
Oh, sure.
Guest list. That evening, guest list. She's all like, what kind of music? What kind of spot? I was just like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah, you already regret it. I know that.
I was just like, really?
Would
wow.
you like to rescind your
oh,
offer right here and right now?
No. I've thought about it this whole time.
You'd like to rescind your offer and say, I no longer want to be married.
No.
Go ahead.
It's not true. It's not true. I love her.
All right.
Okay.
Even though God said no.
Well,
Omar's
12
saying
years.
Yes.
Can
wow.
I take it back, really?
No.
Yes.
No.
You certainly
Shut
can
up.
Try.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You can certainly
Omar,
try.
It's cheaper to take it back now than it is after the wedding, believe
oh,
me.
You guys.
Maybe we'll go to Vegas.
1-800-520-1067. Your wedding proposal's gone south. We'll talk to you next.
Let's face it, it's tough to ask a woman to marry you. The pressure is on. You want it to be just right because if not, you'll hear about it for the rest of your goddamn life. And
well,
that's why it's funny when things go horribly awry.
And women have it tough, too, because when they get proposed to, all other women say, how did he do it? And
yep.
then they judge her based on that. So usually the girls have to, like, make up a story to add some romance to it just so that they can save face.
That is true.
It's one of the things I love about women so much is the their other hen friends at work don't care whether you're a good dude or not. They just care how much money you spent for the ring and how you proposed. Because that's a reflection on you. I'm just saying that's how it is, and you know it's true. 1-800... Yes, Lisa.
Never mind.
Dinner party of one.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Why don't we start with... let's start with Ty. He's in Reseda. We're looking for proposals gone wrong. That's the topic on the table this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Ty, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. Okay. Tell us how it went.
So I go to my girl's parents' house to ask them permission, you know, to propose and all that good stuff.
By the way, that's real old school, isn't
it? Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Her family's a little more traditional, but okay. You know, it's all good. So I'm talking to her parents and asking my doing my spiel, and my phone rings, and it's in my pocket, so I start hitting my phone to shut off the ring, and I find out about 15 minutes later by my girl's roommate who texts her sister who's with me and says, she just called you, your phone picked up, she heard everything.
So you hit answer accidentally and she heard you talking to her parents.
She sure did. So I'm freaking out at her parents' house and they're like, you gotta go now.
Well, of course.
So I am over to her house at about 11:30 at night and I get to her house and she's all acting all nonchalant, gives me a story as to why she calls. And right there in the middle of the living room, I proposed with the roommate sitting right next to us folding their laundry.
Wow.
And, that's romantic. I had intended doing it a couple days later with, you know, the whole romance thing and all that.
That's awesome. I think the cool thing to do would have been for you to never bring it up. She would know that you asked your parents' permission, then you never mentioned it. It would have been awesome. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you don't want to add an extra step in there like asking a parent's permission. You need to limit the steps in this whole deal. Otherwise, everything goes south. Let's go to Kimmy, who's calling from West Covina. Good morning, Kimmy.
Good morning.
Proposal's gone wrong. What happened?
Okay, so it was December, and right before Christmas, and so my fiancé took me to a park where normally in the summer they have frogs. And so we go to the park, and we decided to relocate, and just because there was some people over there.
Right.
And so he takes me to this one little area, and he's talking to me, and then all of a sudden the sprinklers go on. And his face just looked mortified, and then, of course, I start laughing because I just thought it was funny.
Right.
I kind of had an idea of what he was going to do, but not really.
Oh, you did.
And so then from there, then he went ahead and proposed afterwards, but it was after we were all wet.
He didn't propose right there while getting sprinkled on? That's the way to do it.
No. No, he didn't.
It's too bad.
All right. By the way, thank you, Kimmy. That exact same thing happened in High School Musical, too, just so you know.
Shut up.
Zach goes in to kiss Vanessa out on the golf course, and the sprinklers come on. It's a hilarious moment.
Shut up.
Just saying.
Anthony in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Well, I think my stepdad just kind of ran out of ideas on how to be romantic.
All right. What happened?
He took the kids out to have a little fun and brought my mom along with them, and they went to Chuck E. Cheese. And,
oh, dear God, that place is hell on earth.
Oh, it's hell on earth. Hey, with small children running everywhere, it's disgusting.
And your dad proposed there?
It gets better. Oh, he decides to kind of be slick, and he gives the ring to Chuck E. Cheese, the actual dude in the big
Nice.
Proposed to by a mascot, everybody.
And did your mom marry Chucky?
Well, he dropped off the pizza and then dropped on his knee. And, so basically the big rat just gave my mom a...
I like it.
That's fantastic. That's romantic.
So she said, of course she said yes, but she kind of pulled me aside like a little bit later and told me how incredibly pissed that she was. And she automatically said, we're going to Vegas. He's going to just wine me and dine me, and it better be romantic.
Come on. Chuck E. Cheese is a romantic. How dare she?
Oh, what about when other people ask her how he proposed?
She makes up a whole different story.
Yes, she does.
Yep, exactly.
A whole different story.
Let's talk to Kendall in Huntington Beach. She apparently is the one who screwed up her own proposal, and this I can't wait to hear about. Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Hi, Kendall. You're on the air. What's the story?
Hi. So my husband decided that he was going to take me out on a romantic night to propose at a park that we absolutely love.
Right.
Overlooking all of Fullerton. And on the way home, I had just gotten off work, so I was super tired. And I told him, no, I don't want to go to the park. Just take me home, please. And I want something to eat on the way. So we stopped at Taco Bell, and he was very cool about it. I had no idea. We get home. I'm eating Taco Bell, watching Saturday Night Live on my mom's couch. And he comes in with a bouquet of lilies and asked me at my mom's house, as I have a mouth full of burrito, so I had to sit there and swallow my burrito waiting for him to...
Describe swallowing that burrito.
I think we know what she's talking about.
Oh, okay.
So you're sitting there on the couch eating Taco Bell, you're in your sweatpants watching TV, and that's the big moment that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Exactly, and when I have to tell other people, I'm like, well, let me just preface this by saying he did have a really romantic way to ask, but I was the one that screwed it up.
Yeah, you have to do that, otherwise you will be mocked for life. Please. It's the curse of being a girl. Thank you, Kendall, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in Lenox. This sounds very funny. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi. Wedding proposals gone wrong. What happened to you?
But the morning show!
Yeah! Been a while.
Yes!
Well played, my friend. Well played.
We were just saying off the air that guy was gone.
Yeah,
we were very disappointed.
Sweet!
Lindsay is in Riverside. She's on line five. Lindsay, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Proposals gone wrong. What's the story?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hi, Lindsay.
Okay.
What happened?
My husband and I had been living together for about a year. And I came home from work one day before he did, and there was a message on my machine. And so I pushed the button, and it says, hey, this message is for Mario. This is the jeweler. Your ring's ready to be picked up.
Oh, the jeweler doesn't know better than that?
Ouch. Yeah, they were so dumb. So then he came home, and I said, hey, there's a message for you on the machine. So he listens to it and turns bright red.
Yeah.
And he gets so upset. And he's looking at me like, well, now it's ruined. And I said, well, now you have to go pick up the ring. The jeweler proposed to me.
Yeah, well, you know.
That sucks.
I guess if your man can't do it, you need to do it. The jeweler needs to do it. What the hell?
Use your cell phone, people. That's the message here, I guess. Mm-hmm. Go give him the home number. All right, let's close with Lance, who's calling us from Lake Elsinore. Hey, Lance, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's your story?
What's up, fellas? How are you this morning?
We are good. I was hoping we would get a call like yours because I have never understood this, but go ahead.
Well, I did it before it was cheesy, because this was the late 80s, so, you know, bear with me. What I did is, my first date with my future ex-wife was at a baseball game.
Okay.
It was at Anaheim Stadium.
Right.
And, you know, so she was a big baseball fan, and that was our thing, why we dated. We went to the ball games and all that.
Right.
So, you know, I thought, you know, I knew somebody who worked at Angel Stadium, and they hooked me up with the guy that did the Jumbotron, and they hooked me up with the dinner at the Diamond Club and all that.
Sure.
And I was able to plan all this stuff without her knowing, and I got the bitchin' ring for everything. So I get to the game, and we got prime seats, and they timed it for the fifth inning, and they told me, and they would put the camera on and everything on the Jumbotron.
Now, did the camera show up, like, a little early, and she was trying to figure out what was going on, or was it timed right?
No, dude, what they did was they told me at the top of the fifth inning, after they did their little announcement or whatever, they were going to put it on the scoreboard in the words. And the Jumbotron was going to zoom in on us as I was pulling out the ring and asking her.
I got you. Okay.
Okay.
How'd that work out?
Well, I pointed to the scoreboard with the ring on it, and she looks up, and it asks, you know, if she'll marry me and all that stuff. And then she looks at me, and I'm like, you know, got a smile on my face, and then she looks up at the Jumbotron, and she sees the camera zoom in on us.
Right.
And I reach down in my pocket to pull out the ring, and when I pull it out and look up, she shoots up the stairs crying, running away from me.
What? Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute. So you were on the jumbo screen at Angel Stadium, and the camera was on her, and she jumped up and ran away.
Right. Yeah, that's real funny, buddy. I was laughing the whole way up, you know?
What did you do? Because now you're sitting there by yourself on the jumbo screen.
Everybody around me is looking at me, and they're asking me, did she say yes? What's wrong? All this stuff. And I have nothing to tell them because she took off.
So what was her deal? Was she just shy?
Well, here's the deal. I ran up, and I caught her back. You know, back where everybody smokes on the turnstile.
And beat her, I hope.
Right.
No, she starts yelling at me, calling me a SOB, and who the hell do I think I am?
Why?
And all this stuff, and starts hitting on me. Well, it turns out she has a phobia of being in front of crowds and being the center of attention.
and you didn't know that.
I had no idea. And I lived with her for 5 years before I even, you know, asked her to marry me.
Wow.
And I thought I knew everything.
So it's not that she didn't want to marry you. She just was scared that her picture was up on the jumbo screen.
And the whole time she's telling me, take me home. I want to get out of here. And yelled at me the whole way home and all that stuff.
Dude, that to me says someone has a warrant out for someone's arrest. That's what that says to me about the Jumbotron.
Right. So anyways, you know, it's just a crappy night the whole way through.
Yeah.
It takes 2 days to answer me, you know, because she never gave me an answer, and I was, like, sweating it going, what's up?
Yeah.
But I got, in the end run, I got the last laugh because when we got married, I was unaware of her parents being prejudiced.
Right.
And in my wedding party, I had a black dude, a Mexican, and a homosexual.
Right.
Yeah, and they
sounds flamed. Like a joke.
Yeah, well, that's right. But they were flaming, so, you know. And the marriage only lasts like 8 months. So.
Really? What a surprise.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The girl took exactly. 2 days to give you an answer, and it didn't last?
Right, right.
Wow, so beautiful.
And just tell Omar, you know, just live with the chick forever.
That's
don't marry her.
That's what he's been doing, but it's a little too late for that advice.
Yeah, right. 12 years on, yeah.
With him, it's all good, but as soon as he gets married, it's over.
You know? I agree with Lance, but you know? You're wearing me out, but thank you for the call, Lance. We're glad you called. That's fantastic. We got an intervention of one of our own coming up just after the news at 7, and in the 8 o'clock hour, Tara Patrick leaves.
Ah!
That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, that's all straight ahead here on the Kevin Bean Show, plus more tickets for the K-Rock Creep Show. Right now, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Looks like we may know who is going to play legendary artist Kurt Cobain in the film biography about his life.
Denzel Washington.
Denzel, indeed.
Excellent. Crispin Glover.
Jonathan Litnicki.
Jonathan Lipnick, yes.
All excellent guesses, Ralph. Are we right?
Brawley.
Which one of us is closer?
Coming back from the grave. He's a British actor named James McAvoy.
Oh, okay. Sure, yeah.
He stars in Atonement.
And
played Anne Hathaway's love interest in Becoming Jane, the movie about Jane Austen.
Didn't see it.
No.
He's a very talented young actor. He's got a lot of heat over there in England. And apparently he's the front runner to play Kurt in the film that Courtney is the executive producer of.
I do know who he is because I think my wife has the hots for him. I believe he was in the Pride and Prejudice movie from a couple of years ago, and which she's watched hundreds of times because of him.
The film apparently is based on the Charles Cross biography called Heavier Than Heaven. That's the basis for the film. So so far, he's the front runner. That would be a
who's gonna
plum
play Courtney?
Role. Plum role for anyone to snag.
Who would play Courtney? That's what I want to know.
Who would play Courtney?
Paula Abdul.
I'm trying to think who would be a good choice.
Too fat, but not bad.
Play Courtney. Andy Dick, I think. Andy Dick would be my choice.
Slap some lipstick on him and he'd be fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst. Jonathan Davis of Korn is going out on a solo tour. Did you guys hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to kick off in Hartford, Connecticut on November the 9th and will wrap up in Vegas on December the 11th. So it's not a protracted tour, but it is going to be cool to see Jonathan
deploying. He's a fan!
Why would you ever say that? What's wrong with you?
He's going to be performing most of it acoustically, and he's going to promises to do some Korn tunes that have never been done live before. 24 dates make up the tour, so I guess if you check the Korn website or Jonathan's website, you'll be able to find out the dates. But
talented dude.
Sounds pretty cool.
Not going to bring those bagpipes, Art, is he?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be some piping.
Yeah.
There will be some piping.
Sure.
Maxim magazine has released a list of the 5 unsexiest women in Hollywood.
Unsexiest.
You know, all these magazines, especially InStyle, they love their lists. You know, the hottest redheads,
sure.
The best booty, the best boobs, the best body. Finally, someone has taken a list of the least sexy celebrities in Hollywood.
Kirsten Dunst.
Not in the top 5.
Oh, come on.
Not in the top 5.
I'm out then.
Drew Barrymore.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Not in the top 5.
Come on! Not Rosie O'Donnell?
Least sexy.
I think you'll agree with these choices when you hear them.
Sandra Oh.
Number 5, Britney Spears.
Yes.
The recent Britney Spears, yes.
Yes. Maxim says she's lost the ability to perform, but gained 2 kids, 2 useless ex-husbands, and about 23 pounds of Funyun pudge.
Oh!
By the way, Funyun pudge.
Playing Canyon Country.
Greatest band name ever, I think. Number 4, Madonna.
Yeah, not sexy.
Yeah, but, I mean, she's beef jerky, let's be honest, But Rosie O'Donnell is way less sexy than
but I think
Madonna. She doesn't try to be sexy. I think these are people who have been sexy
at one
time.
Yeah, have been considered or try to prop themselves up as sexy.
And still pose sexy.
But in reality are not sexy at
okay.
all. I think that is the list.
All right, that's
Maxim says, she acquires dirt poor foreign babies like Paris Hilton accessorizes with pets. Which is a good point. Number 3, Sandra Oh.
Yeah.
Booyaka! Thank you so much, Maxim.
You've been saying that.
Oh, she's a beast.
She doesn't bother me.
And they try to sell
you.
Her on that show. It's like, ooh, yeah, I'm sexy. Look at me. Me so horny. Come on.
They don't try to sell her like
they
that.
They do. Though. They try to make her some sort of a sex object and all these love interests she has in the show. Horrible.
Kirsten Dunst, number two?
No. Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's got openly hemorrhaging translucent skin.
Oh, dear
a
God.
A rat's nest hairdo and lashes on her eyes that look like surgically attached bats.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
That is accurate.
That is true.
Number two. And number one?
Most unsexy.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Aww. Okay.
Suck it!
The least sexy woman in a group of very unsexy women. Her face looks like Derby winner Barbaro. So there's a list you might want to pick up Maxim magazine for.
Sweet!
God, Sandro is finally getting acknowledgement as it deserves.
Yeah, you've been on that bandwagon for a while.
I was leading that charge when no one was behind me.
Yep.
Now look at me. Now I'm freaking Braveheart. Now I got guys on horseback with torches and pitchforks. People finally seeing it my way.
You know what's funny, Ralph, is that you were early on Sarah Jessica Parker going bad, too.
Yeah.
She's spoiled.
True.
She's Absolutely. Spoiled. There was a time about 5 years ago where you could sometimes catch her on a good day, but it's been a while since we've seen her look good.
You ain't kidding, son. My wife, by the way, she loves this movie. I can't remember the damn name of it. It's some freaking holiday movie with Diane Keaton and Luke Wilson where everyone's sitting around.
Family Stone?
Yammering
Family
at
Stone,
the Family
yeah.
Stone.
I love that movie.
Oh, for God's sakes.
One of my favorites.
Oh, dear Lord. It's horrific. But
she's
the most
it.
Horrific part of it is Sarah Jessica Parker in that movie.
Really?
You just, not only is she hard to look at, you just want to keep hitting her in the head with a snow shovel
until
she just doesn't get up again. That's what you want to do
on.
To her in that
Well, film. That won't improve her looks, hitting her in the face with a shovel.
Hitting her in the back of the head. It didn't have to be the face.
It's not an overreaction of any kind.
Horrible. But Rachel McAdams is in it.
She's adorable.
Oh, so she's fantastic in that
she's
movie.
Hot.
So that sort of, I can look with one eye. If I hold one eye closed, half of the screen disappears, and then when she's talking to Rachel McAdams, I can just look at her.
That's a good plan.
It is funny that there are some actors and actresses that it's not enough just to not enjoy their work. You have to physically be violent toward them
well,
if you hate them so much.
Yes. What do you do?
Yes.
What are you
and
do?
Us Weekly Magazine reports that one of my true loves, Catherine McPhee, will be wedding her fiancé, Nick Kokas, in February at a Beverly Hills estate in a very Greek wedding, they claim. Nick, of course, being of Greek descent.
Like 75, too.
He is not 75.
It?
He is
80.
He is a youthful 60 or something. And I know we don't do a lot of theater.
No.
Talk on this show.
Not nearly enough.
We don't.
Stop it, Lisa. We do plenty. Mm-hmm. But
we do too much for my taste.
This is something that caught my eye that I cannot believe they're doing. And I don't know how I'm going to get to go, but I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
It is a two-night-only performance of a new play here in Los Angeles. Written and starring Eric Idle of Monty Python fame.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
Okay.
It's called What About Dick?
What About Dick?
Yes. Does not say
I
what.
I guess everybody does love Dick.
I guess so. Doesn't say what it's about here, but the cast is Billy Connolly, one of my favorite comedians
Scottish
of all time.
Scottish funny comedian.
Scott, very, very funny guy.
Yeah.
Tim Curry, brilliantly talented actor, very funny guy. Eddie Izzard.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Genius and brilliant actor. Jane Leeds, remember her on Frasier, the British housekeeper on Frasier, and Tracy Ullman.
Wow,
apparently a very talented British cast. It's happening.
Hey,
at the...
this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some brews.
You bet.
I'm gonna have to fight Lisa for tickets to this, but it's only two nights, November 10th and 11th.
Why is it only two nights?
I have no idea.
Huh.
Maybe they're just trying it out to see if they can move it to Broadway or something like that. But it'll be at the Ricardo Montalban Theater.
Wait a minute, there is such a thing.
I had no idea until
there.
I read.
What?
Of course you have.
Yep.
The Ricardo Montalban.
Where's that?
It's on Vine Street, apparently, in Hollywood.
What do the
what
seats
are the
look
seats
like?
Seats made of?
Damn it!
I'm guessing.
Cool, yeah.
Rich Corinthian leather.
Thank you.
I'm guessing.
I think it was the Doolittle Theater at one time. Do you remember that?
No one cares.
That was the Do-A-Lot Theater.
Oh my God.
I think Ricardo takes tickets there. I think that's what
it probably does.
Smiles, everyone. Everyone comes in.
His voice does the announcement.
But. Bad everyone's money. Tattoos.
Tattoos dead, by the way. But
bad. In only 3 minutes of intermission, we have to get the concession stand open. Bad. Yes, tattoo. Please get this the fruit juice machine running. By the way,
that does sound good.
His voice does the announcement.
It does.
You're serious, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think she means a recording of Ricardo Montalban as it plays in the theater.
Right.
I know, but the fact that she knows that and would cite that as a relevant detail is hilarious.
What is his theater?
Wicked cool, yeah?
Oh, dear God. I know no one else is laughing, but we have fun here in the studio. Today's celebrity birthdays. Monica, singer, 27 years old today. Actor B.D. Wong is 47 years old today. Kevin Kline is 60. And F. Murray Abraham. Why would you talk about him like that,
Ralph? How dare you?
I think he's doing a one-man show at the Ricardo Montalban Theater. He is 68 years old.
His voice does the announcing, Ralph.
They're doing a live stage version of Wrath of Khan. I think that's what's appearing there next.
How's that sound?
Khan! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the problems that we've had with this job is that our attention span is getting less and less, and it's a brutal room. If you're going to tell a story, you got to get to the point right now or everybody starts jumping on you. And it's actually kind of hurt me outside of work. When I'm out in public and people are telling stories, I want to go, speed it up, for God's sake. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have any attention span for that, and it's getting worse and worse. However, having said that, Psycho Mike, who is behind the scenes here in the studio, he has actually been taking longer and longer to tell stories. So it's time for an intervention.
What's up with that?
An intervention, a storytelling intervention with Psycho Mike, because you're not only hurting yourself, Mike, you're hurting all of us.
You know what the thing is about Mike is if you were to say, Mike, hey, what do you think of the World Series game tonight? Mike would insist on starting back at the time the Red Sox played their first game, and then he'd need to give you the history of Fenway Park, and then he'd need to tell you everything he knows about the Colorado Rockies. He can't just fast forward to the point of which you're interested in.
But here's what's weird. Here's what's weird. We are constantly taking phone calls, and I know sometimes we sound like dicks when we're talking on the phone to people because they can't get to the point. I do understand that, but that we can't do it. We can't listen to a long story.
But we're always saying things like, okay, just start 5 seconds before the thing
happens. Here's how to tell a story. We're saying that constantly, and Mike is in this room listening to that.
Yeah.
And yet, who does it worse than him?
The problem is
no
you hipsters,
is the answer.
You hipsters, you Y generation people, you're so fascinated with efficiency. You got your emails and your sidekicks and your file sharing.
What are you, a
throwback?
Thousand?
I'm a throwback to the days when people used to savor heart to heart visceral communication. And you guys don't understand that. Where's the intimacy? It's lost. King James is turning over in his grave, you people. Like, you're living in a goddamn Orwell novel.
I have an example.
Oh, man.
Like, that wasn't enough right there. We were talking about Psycho Mike's being on TV, CTV. Mm-hmm. What channel is that? L.A.?
CTV.
CTV. Yeah. He was, and we had some clips from the TV show that we were going to play that we thought were very funny. So we brought him in, and we started talking about how he got the job. And this is how the conversation went.
So they invite me on to do this show, right? So I come in to do an interview with the people in charge of that show. Well, you guys know me, and I'm horrible when it comes to like any type of business oriented type stuff. Or like,
never had a worse interviewee than you,
right? Well, I'm not talking about. I mean, as far as like being prepared, knowing times, dates.
Okay, now remember, we want to play the clips. That's what we want to do. That's what we're leading up toward.
Right. Anything involved, I'm the worst at that.
Right.
So I walk in, they go, "Hi, who are you here to see?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know." They're like, "Well, don't you know who your interview's with?" It's like, "Look, someone emailed me and told me to be here at 11 o'clock. I'm here. It's 11 o'clock."
That's, so, by the way, the award-winning attitude that got Mike on this show,
right,
too.
That's right. So I'm in the waiting room trying to work out my witty banter of who am I supposed to see with the secretary of this.
Sure would like to play those clips. Like to get right to those, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and a reminder, again, all we needed from Mike is, it's a show about local L.A. music that I'm the host of. Here's a clip. So that's all we need.
So I got dressed, and I wasn't sure whether to wear the White Sox or the Black Sox.
Station.
Does this story end so I can play some of these clips?
You shut up.
Does it?
You're about to lambast me for 20 minutes. I think I can get a little bit of my side in, okay?
So, I cannot remember a time before you started telling that story.
So they're auditioning for another show at that time. And the person in charge of that show sees
me. Are you
me
still telling the story?
I want to hear the story.
Jesus Christ.
What the hell? I have clips from the show. Who
you
cares?
Are such a dolt.
Who cares?
You asked me to tell you.
Who cares how you got hired? Did we say, hey, Mike, how did you get hired?
So did you?
Yes, essentially.
Douchebag.
Tell us in excruciating detail every step of the way that got you in front of the camera so we can get to the clips.
So that's the problem with Mike, is that Mike really does think every single detail is super important.
And here's the thing. there was an interesting story there that he showed up for one show and they saw him in the lobby and hired him for a different show.
And it took
show.
You 4 seconds
and
to say.
And there's the story.
Right.
There it was.
Maybe
it was
I like to paint my pictures with a little bit more vivid colors.
Right. None of us are interested in those colors. Just get to the point.
It hurts.
You we know don't have that kind of time.
What you're doing right now hurts me.
We don't have that kind of time.
We just want to see an X-ray that gets spit out of a machine. It doesn't need to be a hand-painted Picasso. We just want to see the picture. Listen, here's the thing, Mike. That interview that we just played the clips from happened about a month ago, okay? And I thought we may have been a little bit rude to you since you're a friend, but I thought we got the message across that you're a horrible storyteller. It has gotten so much worse since then. I don't know what's going on with you, but for some reason now we can't even talk to you anymore.
Here's the best part. All of us, by the way, never agree on anything.
Right.
Never. We all agree on Psycho Mike's storytelling. There'll be 10 of us in here. Psycho Mike will be telling a story. We'll all start yelling at him. And he is livid. How dare you people question my storytelling?
Here's what Mike has done to fix the problem. He now talks faster.
But no less detail.
No less detail,
Listen to me, you dingy broad. There's a lot going on upstairs, okay?
When you're talking about the mic,
there's a lot going on upstairs. You know what I'm saying?
We don't
and
need
sometimes,
to know all
for my
of it.
Well-being, I just got to, you know, I got to, like, purge that. And if that's a little bit above your head, then maybe the problem lies in the man in the mirror, okay? All right,
what?
Slick?
Why don't you purge in the parking lot? We don't need your purging in here.
Mike, I think what Kevin's point is if it's just me saying it or just him saying it or just Lisa or just Ralph or Alex or Lightning or Omar, then maybe you can write off one person as being hypersensitive to your bad storytelling. If it's everybody, isn't it perhaps that you're the common denominator in the story?
Aren't you the man in the mirror?
Nice. Full circle.
Woo!
Mike, seriously, we're going to give you the same advice we give everybody. Start your story 10 to 15 seconds before the point. That way you don't lose everyone on the way.
All you do is talk. And when you're not talking, I'm betting you're thinking about talking. I mean, can I ask you a personal question? Have you ever had a thought that you didn't immediately verbalize?
What happened in your life that made you so needy that you've got to fill every waking second by babbling on?
I'll be honest with you. I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to get your voice out of my head. It is a very real concern.
Are we getting through?
I'm sorry, what? Me?
Are we getting through, Michael? Is any of this impacting you?
You all agree? You all feel this way?
Every yes!
Single
one of you? Yeah. All of us agree. Your stories are horrible.
All of you.
You focus on details that are so not important to the story. All of us.
Not good at storytelling?
Not really good. On the scale from bad to good, you're more towards the bad.
You know, now that you guys have put it in that perspective, I've thought about it and blow me.
I don't know why you guys are so mean to Mike. I mean, the guy, he's got, see, the way it's the thing is, it's for him, it's a lot of, well, I mean, you know, he's been around, you guys are just a little too mean to him. And the thing is that he's bringing good information to the table. The table, on the other hand, is an entirely different story altogether. But it's just sometimes he sort of wanders, you know, just kind of tangentially gets on to another subject other than what you're talking about. But it all kind of ties in to what it is that you want to talk about. And that's why he's working so hard. He's working so hard to get it to be part of the show that's really good. But he's working hard to try to work it in and make his point and He's supporting you guys, but, and he's gay.
Time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. Answering machine, you call us, leave a message, we play you back on the air.
Chris Angel is the biggest douchebag ever. Douchebag.
That is, in fact, the theme song of his new NBC hit show called Phenomenon that airs tonight at 8 o'clock.
That's it. This guy has an interesting solution to a problem I didn't know existed.
Black people should get tattoos with whiteout. That way you could see it because they're black.
That's a fantastic idea.
Tattoos with whiteout. Sure. This is a good tip from a listener.
Dude, cover the new L with Scarlett Johansson on the cover. Oh, my God. I almost raped myself in the middle of Vaughn.
Wow.
I like that that picture makes him one him.
Didn't Psycho Mike find out that a friend of his is, like, related to Scarlett Johansson or something?
Yeah, a guy in band packs.
A guy that he knew his whole life, he just found out was first cousins with Scarlett Johansson.
That's not the kind of information you hide, Mike. What's
and
up with that?
She lived with him.
Him and his family in San Marino, like, when we grew up. And
we need to have him in talking about her.
All right.
We need to do that.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw this story, but...
Did you guys see the story about the wild elephants that got drunk, went on a rampage, took out a power pole, and electrocuted themselves to death? The funny part of the story is it happened in a village west of Shillong in the capital of Meghalaya.
He may be focusing on the wrong things, but they're the kind of things that we usually focus on. I might be done with Count Laughula.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. It is I, Count Laughula. How do monsters tell their future? They read their horoscope.
Halloween's another week, Kevin. You're just going to have to hang on.
Huh, dude, find some. You got a good voice. Find some jokes.
That's Highlight Magazine jokes.
If you watch the TV, you've seen a lot of stuff on fire.
All these houses burning in San Diego. All these houses burning in Malibu. I just want to say, George Bush hates white people.
I think that has been proven.
Proven, yeah.
I was not at my best when the Sean Penn disaster happened. Is the way we're referring to it now?
So, Spicoli, how long comedy, long time play you him? Greatest interviewer of all time.
Yeah, thanks.
I felt so bad for Sean Penn, who I guess his house didn't burn, but some of his outbuildings on his property had some storage facilities. Those did burn down. That's how close the fire got to his house. I mean, like, he hadn't suffered enough already this week talking to you.
Channel 4 is geniuses. They're putting Chuck Henry back on the fire line.
I feel so bad. I feel so badly for the people lost their possessions. You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it.
Remember when the fire people all told them to move their vans and he didn't?
Yes.
Sure.
And then the van went up in flames?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Brilliant.
Times.
Saw a little bit of Chuck yesterday. He is out there. I also saw Doug Kriegel on the Channel 4 News yesterday.
No.
He's out there working. He has lost a tremendous amount of weight.
Can he breathe yet?
He still sounds like he's so out of breath, he's barely going to make it through the newscast.
And then a Paul Moyer call, which, you know, we're fascinated with the bag of hot air that is Paul Moyer.
This is the greatest ever. Paul Moyer, Channel 4 News, just said a quadruple boom. He said, look, the fire goes from tree to tree to tree. Boom, 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 boom. It was the best thing ever.
That's fantastic.
He does like that. I don't know if you heard him introducing Evanescence on The Tonight Show. Here it is.
Stay tuned for Jay now. Tonight Show, he's number one tonight. He welcomes Jerry Seinfeld, Amy Ryan, and Evan Sense.
Well done, Paul.
Absolutely riveting. Tell you what, that's what it's about right there.
Evan Sense.
Don't we kind of know how this one ends?
Sure. It's not going to change from last time.
Turn it off.
All right.
Nice.
We know how that ends. I just play the chord, right? Everyone's on that.
7:43 on the Kevin and Bean Show. MTV has a program called A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, and they advertise it as groundbreaking because it's the first time that lesbians and straight dudes have been going after the same single woman. And that woman is the internet sensation known as Tila Tequila. LaQuisha watches the show for us every week and brings us her review. Good morning, LaQuisha. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Are y'all watching this show?
No, we just enjoy your recaps.
You're missing out on the greatest reality show ever.
Really? I know it started strong, but it really has continued at that pace, huh?
It's picking up speed like a train going downhill that's got no brakes with a cattle car full of orphans in it.
Now, you're telling us, though, that your recaps aren't good and you don't have enough time to do it. We should watch it as well?
This show is an hour long. It is jam-packed with stupid.
All right. Fantastic.
Okay.
I can only bring you about 2 or 3 minutes of it, but I'll do my best.
All right.
At this point, there are 17 straight guys and lesbians who are vying for Tila Tequila's vagina.
Right.
And they're all going to move into a big house now and live together, now that they've weeded some of them out.
Sure.
So Tila is very excited about this.
17 guys and girls left, and tonight, they're moving into my crib.
My crib.
Moving into a crib.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone shows up, And they're screaming and yelling because that's what you have to do on MTV. You got to jump up and down and go, woo!
Sure.
All right, guys, welcome to my crib.
Okay, okay. All right, stop calling it your crib.
Now. All right, we know it's your crib.
Now we got it. It's your crib. Stop calling it your crib, okay?
Before everybody moves in tonight, they're going to have to turn in their keys because from this point on, you got to earn your key and your right to come stay at my cribs.
Stop it!
At my cribs?
Jeez.
Stop calling it your crib!
But it's your crib.
I ain't heard crib used this many times since Yo MTV Raps went off the air. Uh-huh. Stop calling it your crib. You are not cool, Tila Tequila. Big old wall-eyed pike. Anyway, they all move in, but before they get into her crib, there's some rules Tequila got to lay down.
Sure.
There are some house rules. No hooking up when I'm not around.
No, the women, they will have a lot of fun because they can have sex with each other, and we can because we're guys and we're not gay. That's the point.
Yeah, what that Italian guy said.
What did he say? I didn't understand that.
No one does.
Okay.
No one understands the man they call Little Italy. He said the women are upset because they're lesbians and they can't have sex with each other, but the guys can, but we won't because we're not gay. That's the point.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Now, they're all going to go into the bedrooms, right?
Sure.
But no one knows what the sleeping arrangements are going to be, and so naturally the lesbians are nervous because they don't want to bunk up with the straight dudes.
Sure.
We were so excited, you know, to get our bedroom assignments, and we were like, yeah, I wonder how they're going to do it, like boys and girls or all girls. Like, well, how are they going to do it?
Yeah, it might be all girls. They will surgically remove the genitalia of the straight man and make it all girls. Shut up, lesbian. Well, it turns out it's just one giant bed.
One bed?
In the house.
For all of them?
For everyone.
How many are there?
17 people.
17 people.
This bed, like, the size of, like, a boxing ring. It's just an enormous bed, but everyone got to sleep in the same bed. That was the first surprise. Then Tila Tequila says she got another surprise, and this makes one of the gentlemen a little nervous.
I was just praying, please do not have a penis. Please don't have a penis.
No, no, that's what? Not the surprise. Surprise is she got a strip club there on the premises. So they all go down to the strip club in their pajamas and party and dance because this show's an hour and they got to fill it.
Yeah.
So she starts hanging out with everybody, and she spends some alone time with her favorite lesbian, Rebecca.
My sweet little Rebecca. I definitely still have a connection with her. She definitely knows what she's doing with me. You know, she knows exactly what to say. She's a great kisser. I feel comfortable with her. So she's definitely a threat to the rest of them.
Rebecca definitely in the lead when it comes to the lesbian.
Is she hot?
She's a pretty attractive girl. Yeah, African-American sister.
Then let's get it on.
With the big boobies. And Tila likes her a lot. Here's the thing about Rebecca, though. Tila's not the only one Rebecca feels a connection with because that's when she starts making out with Brandy, another of the lesbians.
Now we're getting somewhere.
On the couch.
Me and Brandy had a little contact, I guess you can say.
You want to kiss me?
Little contact? Looked like you were looking for a contact in her throat with your tongue. You going at it, girl.
Yeah.
So behind Tila's back, she making out with Brandy, right?
Right.
Then everyone goes to bed that night in the giant bed, and Rebecca starts fooling around with Steven, one of the guys. This girl can't get enough.
How about that?
She'll take it, vagina, penis, whatever's handy. She'll take it.
Rebecca and Steven were touching each other. I was mad. I was upset. As soon as I get, we left the chance, we tell Felix. I will tell her, yeah.
All this happening behind Tila's back.
Was that the Italian guy saying he was going to tell mommy?
Yeah, he's going to tell Tila Tequila this first opportunity what Steven and Rebecca were up to. So meanwhile, it's the next morning, and Tequila has left a little note for everybody telling him what the next event's going to be. And Amanda, she was up first. She gets to read it.
I found the message in the bottle today, and I read it. I'm a big reader.
Yeah.
Sure. That we believe.
Yeah, she's a big reader.
I'm a big reader, so I read the whole note.
Oh, the whole thing. In one sitting.
Front end.
She just sat down.
Top to bottom.
And read that message in a bottle. For about an hour later, she had digested all the information that was in it.
She read the crap out of that note.
It was like War and Peace for Amanda. And the letter said, come out back because I'm going to put on a carnival for everybody. It's a big country fair in the backyard.
Okay.
Why? No one knows.
When they all walked out and they saw the carnival, they were so excited. That was, like, totally not what they were expecting.
Because it's a horrible idea. They said, there's no way they're going to put a country carnival on this show. That's why they were surprised.
What the hell's going on?
They're all playing games and throwing bean bags and milk bottles and all kinds of BS. It was dull. But the one person who did enjoy it is my favorite, the racist redneck.
Oh, sure.
He enjoyed himself.
I always look forward to going to the state fair. When I was like 3, I used to spray the poop off the elephants. The carnies would get me to do it. So it brought back some good childhood memories.
Yeah, those fine childhood memories of carnival workers forcing you to spray feces off of elephants. Ah, yes.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, the simple joys of youth.
That's the worst remembering ever.
Those are his good memories of childhood.
Wow.
What are his bad memories?
His life blows.
What, are you like raped by a rhinoceros or something? Anyway, the little Italian guy takes this opportunity to tell Tila Tequila what's going on between Rebecca and Steven. Fooling around in the bed. The straight guy and the lesbian in bed fooling around.
Sure.
Okay.
So Tila Tequila calls Rebecca out on the carpet about it.
Apparently, some people may have broken some rules. Rebecca?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I kissed her. Like,
kissed who? Brandy?
Yeah.
Oops.
Whoa, I didn't even know that happened.
Oh, no, you did.
Oops.
She confessed to the wrong crime. Now she knows that she's making out with all kinds of people of all kinds of sexual orientation.
But she doesn't kick off the chick that wants to kiss everyone.
Well, we'll find out at the end.
All right.
But at this point, Tila's heart is broken because she thought she was making a real connection with someone in this very vulnerable part of her life when she is looking for love. So the only solution that she can come up with to soothe her aching heart is to have a big pie-licking contest.
What are you talking about?
I hope that's not a euphemism.
She lines up everybody in front of big pie plates full of cream, and you got to lick the pie until the pie is licked clean.
Okay.
You got to lick the pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard you say that.
This isn't even a double entendre. This is a single entendre. It's right on. We know what they're going for here.
Lick that. Come on. Lick my pie. Lick my pie.
Yeah, she just runs around screaming, lick my pie.
That's so hot.
The golden age of television, isn't it, LaQuisha?
I'm glad she's looking for love.
She is.
People lick pie. Yeah, you'd think the lesbians would have an advantage in the pie-licking competition.
Sure.
But unfortunately, this one lesbian did not fare so well.
I was literally, like, eating pie and throwing it up and eating it and throwing it up and eating it. And every time she came by, I was just like...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's hot.
Yeah.
That's not hot.
That was on TV where people could see it in their homes.
You got to see the visual of that underneath that little voiceover section.
Nope.
With the pie coming back up into the plate and then being eaten again.
Don't need to see that. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's looking for love.
Yep, she is.
Yeah. Well, it comes time where 5 more people have to be voted off. And she votes off 4 of the boring people who no one really knows anything about because they didn't get any TV screen time.
Right, sure.
But unfortunately, Rebecca...
Aww.
The whore who making out with everybody, men, women, plants, furniture, she gets the boot, and she just can't understand it.
I know what I did was wrong. I didn't think that she would make this decision because the chemistry that we had between each other. And I don't know, I'm still really shocked by it.
How can you be shocked? You banging everything that moves.
Not one, but 2 people in one night.
Yeah. How can she be shocked? It's not the chemistry between you and her. It's the chemistry between you and the rest of the cast and the crew and the gardener who was working in the backyard.
Sure.
Just shut your legs for a minute and maybe you get a shot.
She should get a spinoff, though.
She should. Called a whore of love.
Whore. 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 Whore.
So now we're down to 12. Next week, she continues her search for true romance by making people eat
baked goods.
And throwing,
and throwing
carnivals in the backyard.
This damn show is like an acid trip.
Thank you, LaGresia.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. That band, by the way, Muse, is playing this weekend, Vegas in Las Vegas.
Vegas.
That's Isn't that what funny. Lightning calls Vegas?
Every time.
Yeah, he does.
Every Vago. Time it makes me laugh. Yeah.
Vago.
Vago. That's what Lightning calls it. Vago.
It's 8:03 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's KRQFM passing to Los Angeles. We've got the really a renaissance woman in porn coming in the 8 o'clock hour. She was not only in Asian Street Hookers 7. She was in Foot Lovers Only 2 and Nice Rack 4, plus Open Wide and Say Ah 6. Is there nothing she can't do?
Was she in Butt Pubes?
I don't think she's in Butt Pubes.
No, I don't think so, no.
Talking about the great Tara Patrick will be joining us in just a few moments here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday morning.
You know, she was a pioneer in point of view porn, too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
She did.
What's point of view?
It's when you're watching a video and it's as if you're the dude and you look down and you've got suddenly a giant penis,
right,
whereas
sure.
you hadn't before.
And it's black.
And it's Sarah Patrick is your lover and you had the whole perspective as if you're watching. She was one of the early pioneers in that type of video.
Was Ass Angles the first one in that series, Ralph? Do you remember?
I don't believe so, no. I think it was
inside, it 18 and Nasty 11?
No, I think it was Inside Tara Patrick. I think that was actually the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it was an in-depth interview, I think.
Sure.
That's why they called it Inside
Certainly.
Tara Patrick.
Yeah, well, ask her about that.
Yeah. Britney Spears needs some new MySpace friends. Because apparently some of her old ones have posted a MySpace page dedicated to having her new album fail.
Her old friends?
Yes.
People that knew her from when she was growing up, you mean?
No, these are people who are former backup dancers, former employees, security, people have worked with her.
Are they angry?
They're not angry. They set up the MySpace page with the sole intent of forcing Britney to get clean and sober before going back to work.
Oh, they're concerned about her, so they want people to boycott her CD.
Right. The group encourages fans to contact her management, her record label, the publishing house, MTV, letting them know that they will not support Britney in any venue until she gets her act cleaned up.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She's a human!
Just barely, though. She's got a lot of Funyun pudge on her.
You know what I'm saying? She sure does. About 20 Excess. Pounds worth.
There's 142 friends on the page so far who have signed up to support this movement. So, good luck, Brit.
Let me ask you, you guys' opinion. Is it ill-advised to release an album at this point in her life, or is this what she needs to kind of clean herself up and kind of force her back into the work and get people talking about something other than her? Her pudgy Funyuns.
It totally depends if she can turn her life around at the same time the CD comes out. Yeah, but if she continues to be a train wreck, it's a horrible time to put out a CD. Because now she's going to be in public a lot more.
Especially if it's not good.
Yeah.
Then she's going to get destroyed
on every
level.
The worst thing that can happen to her is that this album is successful and it's not good. If it is commercially good, but it's not a good album. Because it'll just make her feel like it's kind of justifying her behavior.
Like she can do no wrong.
Right. Yeah. If she can behave
this
way.
Pump crap out and still be a success.
Exactly. Behave like an a-hole, pump crap out and still sell millions of records. That's the worst thing that can happen, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Interesting news in the world of advertising. Dolce and Gabbana are getting some pressure from some women's organizations because of a recent magazine ad that features a woman who's about to be gang raped.
Oh, no.
God.
What?
Yeah. It's been banned in Spain.
Oh, I see it. Mike brought that up on online.
And the National Organization for Women wants the ad to disappear completely. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
They claim it reeks of violence against women. Just makes me want to buy more clothing. Because think about it. When you're gang raped, a lot of your clothing gets torn.
Right.
So you need new clothes. So stop by Dolce & Gabbana and pick yourself up a new wardrobe.
Makes perfect sense now.
I could kind of see how that would be offensive.
You can? You looking at it now?
Yeah. The guy's got her pinned down. She does not look like she's having fun.
Yeah.
Other guys are watching.
What's with the poll?
Thank you, Larry.
Exactly sure how that's supposed to sell clothing, but apparently some people not pleased.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You familiar with the band McFly?
Hello? I have heard of McFly.
Hello, McFly.
In Britain, yeah.
Harry Judd of the band has announced that he has had a one-night stand with Lindsay Lohan.
Well, all right,
then. Get in line. He says that one evening with Lindsay was plenty.
Oh.
He said he met her on the set of Just My Luck, where they hooked up, and he said it's not an experience he wants to repeat. dude, if you're going to be if you're not going to be a gentleman and you're going to talk about a woman after you've had sex with her, at least be complimentary. Don't be bagging on the broad.
Good advice.
Yeah. That's what I always do.
He is Justin McFly, by the way.
That's true. He is Justin McFly. And according to AskMen.com, you familiar with that website?
Sure.
They asked their readers, who was the manliest stud in all of celebrity-dum?
Asking men who is manly?
Yeah, of all the celebrities currently in public high profile, which of them are the most manly studs?
Hmm.
AskMen.com. So this is men talking about other men.
Okay.
Okay. Number five, Justin Timberlake.
What?
No.
There's no way people voted for him as the most manly.
This is the most ridiculous list I've ever read, by
There's
the way.
There's no way.
Manliest of all studs in showbiz.
Even if you think he's wildly talented or good at what he does, he's not manly.
Amazing cocksmith, though.
Come on.
Do you think that put him up on the list?
The fact that he gets a lot of ladies.
He dates a lot of hot women.
Unbelievable quantity and quality. Like overwhelming.
Yeah,
I guess. Maybe. But he doesn't strike. He is manly.
Number four, David Federer.
The tennis pro.
Tennis phenomenon, David Federer.
What about Roger Federer?
He's a stud.
All right.
Timbaland, number three.
Fat.
Timbaland. Number two, Matt Damon came in at number two. Manly stud.
I guess because of his movies.
Born Identity, pretty studly. Number one, David Beckham.
What?
He's a girly man.
He is the most femmy of all men.
What is this list?
It's AskMen.com. I wonder what TotalBS.com's list looks like.
Yeah,
this one
no
should be on
kidding.
That one.
No Pitt, no Clooney, no actual manly men.
The fact that Clooney's not on here is
a crime against
nature.
I figured it was I didn't think he had to read number one. It was so obviously going to be George Clooney.
David Beckham.
Come on.
I'm really looking forward to playing soccer here, or football as we call it back home here in Los Angeles, and looking forward to it. And oh, my ankle. Oh, it hurts. I must go sit down now. Thank you all for giving me a lot of money. Bye.
Fruit cup. It's absurd.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Wyman, former bassist for the Rolling Stones, is 71 years old today. Band thought he was a little young.
Yeah.
So they wanted to replace him with someone a little more mature.
Like Menudo.
That's why they kicked him out.
Menudo.
F. Murray Abraham.
Oh, come on. He's an excellent actor.
No, I think that's his first initial.
Oh.
F is his first initial.
He's 68 years old today. Kevin Klein turns 60. B.D. Wong.
Hi.
From Law and Order, SVU is 47, and Monica turns 27 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
She's so perfect in every way. I just love her so much. Hi, Tara Patrick.
Hi. Yay.
You are I think you're the first and only guest that I have seen bring in your own coffee, and that's very smart when you're coming to this radio station.
Thank you.
Because we don't have good coffee at all.
Actually, and you guys are one of the only people that I've ever gotten up and done morning radio for.
Really?
So, yes. Wow. I'm fans of you guys, too. So.
She needs a spoon, by the way, to someone in the other room. She needs a spoon.
No. Psycho Mike.
Or one of those flimsy stir sticks.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike claims he loves her enough, I think, that he's willing to stir the coffee for her, aren't you, Mike?
I got a special
spoon.
Let's not.
A special spoon, exactly.
Start there.
Not too much cream. Not too much cream.
Okay, then. All right. Psycho Mike, get your bucket ready for this interview. We're very excited. He was telling us all day yesterday he was going to bring in a bucket today, and I'm not even sure I want to know what that means.
No,
but Tara Patrick is here, and she has, as usual, she has so many things going on because, let's face it, she's perhaps the most popular adult entertainer in the world. I mean, I would say that. I mean, it just sounds like I'm blowing smoke, but that's pretty much true right now, Tara. You're like at the top of the heap, right?
Yay. Yeah. So that's a yes.
And you have a new tell us about this Dave Navarro project that you're working on. This is kind of different.
Yeah, actually, yes, it is. Dave Navarro, we met Dave at the Erotica LA show a while back, and he had expressed interest in possibly directing an adult film. You know, I mean, everybody wants to do a movie.
Of course.
Right. So we were like, okay, Dave. But he was really interested in doing it, and the finished product is available this month. It's called Broken.
Mm-hmm.
Stars a girl named Sasha Gray, who's one of the big up-and-coming stars in the industry. And, you know, we kind of just gave Dave free rein. I mean, you know, he directed, but we kind of directed with him and gave him some, like, artistic, you know, some of our points and what we wanted to cover and stuff. Because, you know, directing a movie, especially if you're doing it your first time, it's not easy.
Right.
I've never even directed a movie.
Yeah.
And I've been in the industry for like 5 years.
Have you ever
now.
Wanted to?
You know, I've thought about it. Yeah, I've thought about it, but...
Here's what I like. I like that Dave Navarro says, I really don't have any, you know, experience but yeah. I'd like to direct. And you said, go crazy.
Yeah, we did.
I like
yeah,
that.
We did.
So the movie's called Broken. Did he write it?
Yes, and directed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Although there's less writing in porn than there is in most, right?
although this one, Tara, from what I understand from your website, it says it blurs the lines between adult entertainment and mainstream appeal. What does that mean? This doesn't mean it has a bunch of BS 20-minute backstory before you get to the good part, right?
No, it doesn't actually. No, it doesn't at all. But, well, because he comes from mainstream, and it was basically just his point of view, you know, from the, it's very artistic. I mean, he encompassed a lot of beauty and glamour, and it's got some softness to it, and
boring.
It's not. Yeah, it's actually beautiful. It's pretty hard.
Boring.
It's pretty hard.
No, yeah.
It's pretty hard. But
we don't go to porn for beauty and softness,
no.
Tara.
Well, wait a minute. As long as the other is delivered, that's
right.
Fine.
It makes the girls
more artistic.
It makes the girls. It's we glorify the girls at TerraVision. You know, we like to make the girls look beautiful. We like to make the girls feel like, you know, there's so much porn out there where the girls are like being degraded,
yeah,
and you know,
abused,
so we make the girls look beautiful and glamorous. And
In 2007, it's interesting to me, Tara, and you know, as you mentioned, you've been in the business a long time. It's interesting to see that there are still new places people can go with adult entertainment. There is still there are still walls being broken through, it sounds like.
Yeah, literally.
Not sure what that means, but I liked it.
Ralph pointed out a few minutes ago and I don't know if you were listening when we were talking about you coming in, that you were one of the early adopters of the point of view porn. Is that true?
Right. Yeah. Interactive. We call it interactive. And I actually just won an award for best interactive. I was just in Berlin, Germany at the Venus show, and I had done a co-project with Hustler, mm-hmm. you know, Hustler Video.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And we had done a point of view, like an interactive movie together. And the difference between the one that we did versus most of the ones that are out there is ours was shot with a story, not like one of those boring stories where you got to fast forward through it, you know, the
right.
whole time. Before you get to the meat and potatoes, but it was shot with a story, so it was kind of like the viewer could follow along,
mm-hmm.
you know, while he was
right. sure. Sure.
You know,
Got it.
Doing stuff.
Here's the question I've always wanted to know about this POV stuff. And,
right.
and again, if I understand it correctly, you'll see it from the point of view, the
of
perspective
yourself.
Of yourself, right? And oftentimes from different angles too, right? There's a camera underneath. There's a
yes.
camera, you know, on the side of it. Do you have to shoot those scenes like they would in a mainstream film multiple times for
yes.
coverage, or you're not able to shoot it all at one time?
No, you're not.
Tara's a very tired girl at the end of the day.
It's tiring. It's actually not even me. It's the guy.
Yeah,
like,
no kidding.
You know, I mean, I'm just kind of like, I mean, I'm not lazy by any stretch, but the guys are the mechanics,
yeah.
you know? I mean, they do so much.
Do
so
you have to try and copy exactly how
yeah.
the first time, right?
Yeah.
The first time is the plan.
How do you do that?
Everything has to match up. Everything has to match up. And you're shooting with multiple cameras, too, so you can get all the multiple angles.
Right.
So, you know, you have to do, you know, like you have to get a certain amount of footage
sure.
in a certain amount of time before you can cut and then move on to something else. So it was a big project. I think it took us 3 months to film. The Interactive, yeah.
Really?
The Interactive took us about 3 months to film. But it paid off. It was worth it. And it's nominated at the AVN Awards show again this year. So that'll be nice.
And the average porn takes a couple of days to shoot, right?
One day. We
yeah.
shoot movies in one
about 3 months.
Yeah.
Wow,
we
that's
shoot
unbelievable.
Movies in one day.
A whole movie in one day.
Yeah.
Tara Patrick is here, by the way. All these DVDs that we're talking about, you can go to clubtara.com, including the Dave Navarro directed one called Broken. That's
Yay.
Available for sale too at Club Tara. But we have so much more we need to talk. We've got to take a break right now. But when we come back, we got to talk about you're going to be in San Francisco this weekend for a bizarre event that I know is bigger every year. You've got something planned for Halloween that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
And if we have time, we'll even squeeze in a few phone calls if we got any Tara Patrick fans out there who have always wanted this opportunity. 1-800-520-1067. More with our guest when we return on K-Rock. Tara Patrick in the studio of the world famous K-Rock
Yay.
Here this morning.
ClubTara.com. She is not only the hottest Asian chick in the world, really one of the hottest chicks in the world in general. And man, have you come a long way since up and comer 73, Tara. I mean, you have just.
Yay.
I mentioned there are a couple of opportunities to meet you in the week ahead. You're going to the, what do they call the one up in San Francisco? The Exotic Erotic Ball?
Yes, it's called the Exotic Erotic Ball. And a couple people would be there besides myself. I'll be there Friday and Saturday, of course, for the expo during the day. And then for the ball at night, my husband, Evan Seinfeld, formerly of Biohazard, will be playing with his band, The Spiders.
Okay. Cool.
And Snoop Dogg will be playing Friday night.
Very nice. So, is this a Halloween theme thing?
It is a Halloween theme thing. And it's also like a fetish type ball. The fetish community comes out. And it's a lot of fun. I've been doing it for the last couple years now. I'm very good friends with Howard, who puts on the show. And,
you know, it gets crazy up there in San Francisco. I mean, thousands and thousands of people in costume show up for this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool, though. It's cool. You know, it's just a different, it's a different demographic of fans. And, it, you know, for me, it's all about getting out there, meeting people and promoting my products. And, you know, I'm going to be selling my 2008 calendars, movies, all kinds of stuff. So.
Okay. And then you're going to be doing a guest DJ set. And I know, you know, people are always looking for an excuse to go to Las Vegas. You're actually going to be out there on Halloween night at the Venetian. What's that about?
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm bummed. I decorated my house and I don't get to hand out. I don't get to hand out candy this year. No, I am. I do. I'm DJing now. I've been DJing for the last couple months. I've been trained by DJ Hideo, who's a world famous, you know.
Are you good at it?
I think I'm pretty good at it. He's actually teaching me to spin records. I'm doing more Serato, but he's teaching me how to actually spin records. And I will be doing a guest DJ set at Tao. So it's called Talloween. And I will be there with Joanna Krupa, who's another hot chick.
Oh, how about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joanna and I are going to hold hands all night.
At least.
How many times would you trick-or-treat at Tara Patrick's house if you lived in her neighborhood?
I was just thinking the same thing. I would go back like 200 times in a row.
Yeah, and kids do. And I thought it was because I was just giving out the best candy.
No, it was because your parents know who you were. That's why.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Junior, let's go back to this house.
Yeah. I'm like, didn't you come back earlier?
Now, Tara, how much with the business that you run, with all the various things you're involved in, how many movies per year are you doing now?
Well, we release about 2 to 3 Tara Patrick movies a year.
Don't tell me you're slacking. Don't tell me you're starting to phase that part of your career out.
No, it's about 2 to 3 movies a year. And then I do about 3 movies of just Tara Vision movies a month that star other girls like Sasha Grey, Amy Reed, just Charmaine Starr, other girls that I promote because I just, you know, it's not that I'm trying to slack. I'm just so busy. I do the clothing line now. We're doing a perfume. You know, I'm just trying to branch out and do other things.
Right. But do as many now while you're hot and you can. That's what I'm saying.
Very nice.
I'm just saying.
Before I'm shriveled up and done.
Yeah.
Very nice. Now,
you don't want to see me shriveled up.
Look, we've already seen what Jenna looks like now. Hey, what's that all about? What the hell is that?
Might be her iPhone.
Yeah, I think it's her iPhone next to that machine is what's doing that.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
Yeah, let's move that away. Tara, are you shocked at how much money there is in adult entertainment now compared to even 10 years ago? How many more revenue streams there are?
Well, it's funny. When I started in the industry, I got in through the industry through Playboy. That's how I got in the industry, and that was in the year 2000. I did the magazine. I did a lot of magazine work before I made the leap into movies.
Right.
And at that time, you know, it was just all about living a fantasy and having a good time and making a little extra money. I didn't think it was going to be a career. And back then, I was making everybody else rich. So now it's kind of nice that I've been able to parlay, you know, everything that I've done, magazines, movies, clothing, perfume, appearances.
The whole thing.
You know, the whole thing into making myself rich.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. But yeah, it's great. It's a great industry, I think, for women now because it used to be controlled by men, you know, and the girls didn't have any chance of making any money. So it's kind of the tables have turned.
Please recommend to our hot listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show they ought to consider seriously going into porn. I mean, it's a good deal, right?
Not enough women in porn for Bean.
Yeah, there's not. I don't know what that sound is.
I say
Let's move your purse.
Yes, I threw it down on the ground. I tell girls that, because the girls come up to me all the time, I want to be a porn star. I want to be just like you. I want to make all the money. I'm tired of stripping, or I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. You know, I work a dead-end job, and I give it away for free. Why not make some money at it? And I always tell them, just make sure it's what you want to do. It's something you can never take back. You know, right. It's something that's out there for the rest of your life. You know, I remember the first time my dad saw me on Playboy. You know, he was very proud. You know, he was like, this is a good accomplishment for you. My dad always knew I wanted to be a model.
Right.
And he knew I grew up idolizing Betty Page and Marilyn Monroe. But at the same time, my dad warned me and said, you know, there are pitfalls to the business.
He must have taken a lot of crap from his friends.
Yeah.
About his daughter.
Actually, not even so much my dad. It was more my mom.
Really?
Because my mom's in real estate. And, like, you know, my mom, I remember one day she went out and bought a penthouse. And this was really funny. This is actually a really funny story. She bought it because I told her, you're going to love the pictures. They're so beautiful, da 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 da. And she bought the wrong issue.
Yeah.
In there, it was another Asian girl. So she was like, this doesn't look like you.
What have they done to you?
Yeah. So it was kind of a funny thing.
That's funny.
Speaking of what have they done to you, were your parents personally offended when you upgraded your beautiful natural boobs? I mean, because they made those. And then you went and changed them.
Yeah, you know, no, I did. I got breast implants in 2003. A lot of people were shocked because I was known as, like, you know, I had the big natural boobs and all that. But I think they look better now, and I wanted them bigger, and I'm really happy with them.
We're happy with them as well.
Yeah. We've got no complaints, Tara.
And, you know, it's funny because I was at the Stony Awards a couple weeks ago. I gave the award to the best stoner film for, I think it was Knocked Up. Yeah, it was Knocked Up.
Sure.
And I wanted to meet Tommy Chong. I really wanted to meet Tommy Chong because I was a big fan of Cheech and Chong movies when I was young. And I said, hi, Tommy. It's so nice to meet you. And he went, God bless the parents of Mr. and Mrs. Patrick. So it was really funny.
Let's squeeze in one phone call. We got Daniel in Burbank. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, you're on with Tara.
Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Hey. You're pretty.
Yes, I know, right?
You must have the same coffee I have.
What are you calling to say?
I'm sure she knows she has a lot of fans in the military, but when I was in the service in Afghanistan, we used to codename the objectives that we would go to after our favorite adult film stars.
Right.
And it just made you work all that much harder when you knew that you were going from Breonna Banks to Tara Patrick and then on to Heather.
Breonna's my friend. So I love Breonna.
So you used her name as code in Afghanistan.
That's right. And
nice.
We would feel kind of like we were getting one over on the man when you could say out over the radio, you know, just cleared Tara Banks. Moving on.
That's great.
USA! USA!
That's fantastic. That makes war fun, which is kind of hard to do. Hey, let's take Johnny's call of Van Nuys. I know we're desperately late with Tara, but we do get this question every time we have someone on from the entertainment industry. And I know
Tara
is smart and has good advice. Johnny, go ahead.
Hi, Tara Patrick, let me just say, ever since high school, I wanted to make your toes curl, but that's not what I want to say.
Okay. What do you want to say?
Anyways, be in porno.
Yeah, we can't really say that, but okay. How does a guy
get... Did you push the delay button?
Yes,
we had to, yeah. What does a guy have to do to get into the business?
I guess it would be the same as like a girl who wants to get in the business. There's so many websites out there. You have to send in your picture. I know there's one that we're pretty friendly with. It's goldstarmodels.com. Mm-hmm. And if you send in your picture, they'll call you in for an interview and see if you can do the job. Because
what's the interview like for that exactly?
I haven't done an interview ever.
But for guys, I just walked in and they said,
hey, we want you. And I think that they take pictures of you and then they probably put you in like a trial scene.
Yeah, because
like
a small scene. You look good.
Yeah.
You got to perform.
Yeah, they would put you in like a small trial scene to see if you're like up for the job and see if like you could do it.
For the job.
But Gold Star Models, I would recommend. And contact Joel.
Contact Joel. Huh?
Hey,
that's a great tip for our listeners. Boy, talk about pressure to perform. Like, there's not enough pressure.
It's so funny that we got the call from the guy in the military because I did a couple USO tours a few years back, and I had a blast. I had a great time. And I did, you know, all kinds of things. I would sing or do monologues or whatever, introduce the bands. And I remember when I was out there, I didn't think anybody was going to know me. And this whole, like, section just totally cheered. And when I was doing my autograph later, this little girl comes up to me and she said, I had to know who you were because when they announced your name, all the men in our section cheered. So I wrote her a poster that said, may they all cheer for you someday. So I think she's probably like 18 now. But,
she's headed for
and
porn.
She's in the business.
That's great news. You're doing the right thing.
All right. Here's the website for Tara Patrick, who, by the way, is really one of the most beautiful women in the world. And if you don't
Thank
know who
you.
We're talking about, you got to check it out. It's clubtara.com, and it's T-E-R-A, clubtara.com. And that's kind of the best place to go for all things Tara, all these appearances that we talked about, your clothing
Absolutely.
Line, the DVDs. It's all right there on the website.
I have a calendar on there as well.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Well, God bless you, Tara. It's
Thank
always great
you.
To catch up with you. Thanks a lot for coming in on the Kevin
You're
Beach
welcome.
Show.
Thanks for having me.
How about some email for you? I got a great email from Nolan, frequent emailer from Redlands, California, and I had not heard about this, but it is true. Hey, guys, thought I'd let you know that U-Haul is offering 1 month of free storage to people who have to evacuate their homes if they have no place to store their stuff. You know, you got a little advance notice that the fire is coming. You gather up a bunch of stuff. Can't keep it all in your car. U-Haul is giving you a month free storage. Just check the yellow pages for a nearby U-Haul location.
That's cool.
That's a fantastic tip, and congratulations to U-Haul. Thank you for doing that for the people who are having a bad week.
Dear Kevin Devine, I'm writing to request that you interview Maynard James Keenan about his upcoming Pucifer release, Vias for Vagina. He's releasing with no record label, so publicity is needed to make sure good music doesn't die. Thanks, Nancy in Riverside. Working on that.
I think end of next week, we're going to have Maynard in our studio. That Pucifer, that's a weird-ass record right there.
I love it.
Dear Kevin Devine, I have to agree with you guys that Weird Al is the most entertaining person ever born on the earth. One of the first conversations I ever had with my husband was about Weird Al. We were computer lab assistants at the time. I turned and asked him if he liked Weird Al after I'd received an IM from a friend with the lyrics to Yoda. Well, fast forward to 5 years later to our wedding day. We're cutting the cake. We're about to feed it to each other, and the DJ plays Eat It. We smashed the cake at each other's faces. It was so much fun. My husband and I both absolutely adore Weird Al, and we're happy ever since. So, congratulations
nice.
To you two.
Dear Kevin and Bean, listening to your show, I don't know which one was angry about that dancing show you guys were talking about, Dancing with the Stars, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question. My friends and I argue about this sometimes. Do you think cheerleading is a sport? I remember someone saying that dancing isn't a sport, and I was wondering if you think dancing / cheerleading is a sport. I have the fat guy rule. That's what I go with. If a fat guy can play it, like golf, not a sport.
Oh,
or bowling.
Cheerleading,
stupid.
Definitely a sport.
Fat guy.
Then.
Nope.
Guys, there are fat baseball players, though.
Yes,
right.
There are.
Baseball,
That's true.
Not a sport. Okay,
it is absolutely a sport. I would rule no. I think cheerleading is an athletic activity. I don't think it's a sport. I mean, I know they have competitions and everything, but to me, it's not a sport. What do you guys think?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think it's a sport either.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But
well,
you
okay.
have to be
it's
athletic.
Pretty athletic,
to
though. Yeah,
it is.
It.
It's an athletic activity, not
yeah.
a sport. And I have one more email. This is from Jose in Los Angeles, and this is also about Dancing with the Stars. Dear Kevin and Bean, love the show. You guys are going to get a kick out of this. I was browsing around the net, and I came across this article that contains wonderful, exciting, exhilarating, life-changing news. Here it is. Dancing with the Stars is coming to the Wii. Activision is teaming with ABC to create the first ever Dancing with the Stars video game.
So we can do it at home!
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
And for all the people who tune into Dancing with the Stars because they like the celebrities and the chicks who in the hot outfits, you don't get either of those if you're playing it at home by yourself, do you? According to Activision, quote, the Dancing with the Stars video games gives fans the show and players of rhythm games exactly what they want. Hours and hours of active family fun. End quote. And Jose continues, hours and hours of active family fun. Can you feel the excitement? You'll use your Wiimote and nunchuck to mimic elegant and beautiful dance moves just like Wayne Newton does on TV. The game is studded with stars like Emmett Smith and Stacey Keibler and is available on October the 30th for $49.99. Even for video gaming nerds such as myself, today is a sad, sad day.
Wow.
That is rough.
We got a couple of emails about the Ask a Muslim, which I believe is up at krock.com if you'd like to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Amin, could you have thrown any softer softballs at this F. Give me a break. This guy's on the air to promote his effing mosque. Try to ask the F if he believes in honor killings and mutilation of chicks who are suspected of just looking at another man than their husband. By the way, we asked him about that.
He was very clear about that.
Yeah. This guy goes on to talk about Christopher Hitchens' book, God is Not Great. He's an atheist. He says, check out the facts. You could have goofed on this effer and you didn't. I'm shocked and disappointed in you guys. Next, you'll be nice to the effing Scientologist. Later, Dr. A.
Well, someone's got a point of view, don't they?
Yeah.
That's not going to be changed.
I think the point was that not everyone is a terrorist.
Yeah, not yeah, everyone. Not according to that
and,
guy.
And our goal to have the shake-in was not to goof on it. It was to hear what he had to say. And that was the platform.
Yeah,
although, of course we gave him a platform because we were interested in what he had to say.
Although when we have Scientologists in, that's when we'll goof. Hello, Bean. I just want to say I listen to your show because you're irreverent. And most of the time you guys make me laugh at least a few times on my way to work. Sometimes your racial humor gets a bit too much for me. And in those cases, I change the station instead of writing to your management in outrage. Wow.
Hey, what a thought.
Novel thought. This morning, however, was the first time I listened to an interview solely for its educational purpose. I don't know how intentional it was, but you guys did a fantastic job with your questions for Ask a Muslim. Your guests had very profound views on everything, and I wish that more Muslims like him would be focused on instead of the ones proclaiming jihad at the drop of a hat. I was surprised to find that you guys do handle difficult topics well. And then, in parentheses, aside from asking if he rode in on a camel.
Well, I was just, had to know. I had to know. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning.
Why is my camera's not working?
iPhone problem.
What happened?
We had a problem with Tara Patrick's iPhone. We thought it was that machine.
Uh-huh.
So we turned it off. It turns out her iPhone was messing with the microphone.
Oh, really?
It was like all kinds of feedback.
Huh.
So
you said, let's sabotage Ralph.
Yes.
Yes.
As a byproduct of that
conversation. That is what we actively said, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. This needs to be on when I come in here to do a little show this week.
Well.
Sure. I mean, if you want to be technical.
Yeah. That's all right. One of show business... one of show business's biggest blowhards started out his career as a pimp.
What?
You're not going to believe this story. You ever watch Inside the Actors Studio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're on Bravo.
Gotta hate that guy.
James Lipton, host.
That is not true.
One of his early jobs as a young man was as a pimp in Paris, France.
No way.
Oh, my God.
Pimp. When I was very, very young, living in Paris, penniless, unable to get any kind of working permit, I had a friend who worked in what is called the milieu, which is in that world, and she suggested to me one night, look, you'll be my mech, which would translate as pimp.
What a horrible pimp that guy would be.
Yeah.
So, would you like to go have sex with a young woman? And how about this questionnaire by Be Not Bevaux? What's your favorite curse word?
That guy's so snobby,
I hate
him.
If there is a god, what would you like him to say to you when you get to the gates of heaven?
Shut up.
And you know what else? He's not a good interviewer on top of all of that. He does really nothing exceptional on that program. He just gets great guests.
All about him is what he is.
Yeah. Another thing we have in common, John Travolta also likes to fly planes.
Shut up. Go F yourself. Who cares you like to fly planes?
That's so him.
I often ask people to dance on this show because I, as you know, started my career in the dance.
Blow me, Lipton.
Man.
Anyway, yeah, apparently he would bring young, mostly American men up to these rooms for this whore.
Yeah.
And he said, I would take them up the room and I would remain there because they were usually very nervous, most young Americans for the most part, and they didn't speak French, so I would translate.
Because you know I'm fluid in French.
Yeah.
Much like my next guest.
Ass.
He is an ass.
He should be arrested by the French pimp police.
Is there such a thing?
Okay, now this isn't working.
There
we go. Okay. Hey, you know what time it is?
Yep.
It's time to wrestle the Huff.
Huff.
According to the New York Daily News, David Hasselhoff is ready to cash in on his newfound sobriety.
What? How do you cash in on that?
At a recent fashion event in Los Angeles, Huff was seen drinking only water or Diet Coke and said he would like to start marketing his own line of soft drinks that are alcohol-free.
Because there's none of them out there?
You can't buy the soft drink without alcohol, Kevin.
America needs a drink that doesn't have alcohol in it, goddammit.
He's not aware that there are a lot out there already?
I just think he may be overestimating the success level of his own sobriety, given the fact that he falls off the wagon about every 4 weeks.
No kidding.
I might not want to put my face on the bottle of something claiming, hey, look at me, I'm sober.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see that. David Hasselhoff soda. Alcohol-free. Except for a little bit of alcohol.
Look, by the time that hits store shelves, we'll be back at rehab.
Exactly. I don't know. Would you drink Hoff Cola?
No.
No.
No? What if the can talked to you?
If it said, this is a mess, I would drink it.
Yeah?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. By the way, if you get a chance, there is a... on YouTube, there is a little comedy film called The Night Couple... about Michael Knight, David Hasselhoff, trying to sell Kit the talking car because he's fed up with it.
Right.
It's very, very funny. It's done by a comedy group called The Dirty Creeps, and it's very entertaining.
Fantastic.
And Kit says, first of all, he starts critiquing his masturbation technique.
Kit
does, yeah. I think you should loosen up your grip, Michael. That way that naughty chafing wouldn't be a problem anymore. Oh, how I miss driving you to the sex shop for your masturbatory materials,
oh,
Michael.
Yeah, oh,
very disturbing.
Yeah.
He tries to drive it into a wall. Tries to drive into a wall to shut it up. It's very, very funny. You might want to check that out. Ah, good news if you're a Jonathan Davis fan. Korn lead singer is going out on a solo tour. He's going to kick it off in Hartford, Connecticut on November the 9th. And then he wraps up in Las Vegas on December the 11th. Only 24 dates in this solo tour. Jonathan promises he's going to do some Korn tunes that have never been done live before. Most of the set will be acoustic, too, so a lot to look forward to. But it sounds like a cool event. I wonder where he's playing in Vegas. Probably the joint or one of those places,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure if you go to Jonathan's website, you can see all those details. And Maxim magazine has unveiled its list of the unsexiest women in Hollywood.
Unsexiest?
Yeah. These are women who... for some reason or another, either have the perception or try to sell themselves as sexy. They debunk the myth in this list. Here are the top five. Britney Spears is number five.
Oh, yeah.
They say she's lost the ability to perform, but gained two kids, two useless ex-husbands, and about 23 pounds of Funyun pudge.
I'm naming my band that.
Best name ever. Madonna's number four. I agree. She is. She's hit the wall.
Not sexy.
Yeah.
Number three, Sandra Oh.
Yeah. She does play sexy. That's true.
She does on that show. She treats like she's some sort of sex object. It's a sappy chick doctor with a cold bedside manner and boyish figure.
Ooh.
Amy Winehouse is number two.
Sure.
Their description of her, openly hemorrhaging translucent skin.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
A rat's nest hairdo and eyelashes that look more like surgically attached bats. Maybe the greatest description of a woman ever. And number one. Maxim's list of the unsexiest women in Hollywood, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sweet.
Yeah.
The least sexy woman in a group of very unsexy women, they claim. Her face looks like Derby winner Barbaro. Didn't they put Barbaro down?
They did.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
I don't really understand that reference.
And Sarah Jessica Parker looks like her. Oh. How could you not know about Barbaro?
The one that got injured.
He captured the heart of a nation.
Who cares about
he captured the heart of a nation, Kevin.
He was in the papers for months. They were trying to keep him alive.
We were nursing him back to health.
We weren't doing any of that.
We were.
We were.
We were having candlelight vigils for him. How do you not remember Barbaro?
I'm more shocked now than I was the last time we had this conversation about 3 months ago when you'd never heard of Barbaro.
That is classic.
I thought after that, we had this whole conversation. At least now you know who he is.
No, because I stopped listening now just like I did then.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about horse racing.
Barbaro. Heart of a champion. Barbaro.
This went way beyond horse racing. I mean, this was a public meltdown during the Kentucky Derby, and then the whole world watched as they tried to nurse him back to health.
You got any plans tonight?
He tried to save his life.
Really.
He broke his leg in the Kentucky Derby.
He's going to hang out
He was
with
supposed
your wife,
to win.
Yeah.
He's
a horse of a lifetime.
Operation after operation, trying to save him.
Drive the new car.
But it was thousands of get-well cards.
All for naught.
Flowers and letters.
All for naught, Kevin.
Seriously, these fires are unbelievable.
I sent him a box of candied oats.
They get out of control, but this time.
I know.
Hoping that would help his recovery.
I was talking to my fireman, but he's saying that they're close to merging the fires.
Hey, guys, we're done talking about Barbaro. Come back to us.
Yeah.
Listener Megan writes me, Ralph, you mentioned yesterday that you're going to play in honor of Ang Lee's birthday, his movie Brokeback Island.
No, we didn't have time.
We don't have time. We don't have time today either. I'm sorry.
Fortunately, I am running a little late, Megan, but I will try to get it on tomorrow sometime. I'll remind us.
We won't have time tomorrow either.
Yeah.
Really busy tomorrow.
Kevin and Bean lose track of the time sometimes.
Yeah,
so
they
My segment gets truncated.
We're not good.
Truncated means shortened, Kevin.
With time.
He won't remember.
They won't remember.
But you've heard of Barbaro, though. I mean, you understand the word. You get the reference. Right,
I don't
Kevin?
Read papers, he said proudly.
When did she get the car?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh, that's exciting.
He is qualified to be president.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Monica, singer.
Teeth.
Attractive young lady. She's 27 years old today. Kevin Kline. I believe he's an Oscar-winning actor.
I think he did win for
that
a
gay
fish
movie,
called
right?
Wanda. I
oh, really?
Thought,
I thought he won for that movie where he came out as the
In and
gay
Out.
Kid. In and Out. Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
Yeah.
Wish we had more information, like usual.
You can drive it today, then?
Anyway, yeah, 60 years old today.
All right.
F. Murray Abraham.
F. Kevin.
Don't be boring. Really. F. Kevin Ryder is 68 years old today. And Bill Wyman, former bassist for the Rolling Stones, is 71 years old today. We mentioned earlier today about his inappropriate marriage a few years back. I don't know. He was in his late 50s, early 60s when he married a 17-year-old.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And then to get his parents' permission to marry her, and they signed off on it.
Right?
Her parents, rather. I didn't know there was more to the story. I want to thank Chip for writing in here.
Chip?
Yes, the Internet Predator. He said, Rob, you forgot the rest of the story. Shortly thereafter, Bill Wyman's son married that chick's mom.
Oh,
what?
That's right.
Also hot, he said, by the way.
Yes.
Married her mom.
Don't know if they're still together, but think about it. Bill Wyman's son became his father-in-law. And his son's wife became both his stepmom and daughter-in-law, etc.
Yes. What the hell? God.
Makes your head spin like a rolling stone, don't it?
Sure does.
Thank you, Chip. I completely forgot about the best part of that story.
So, wow.
Something we could have mentioned all day long with some entertainment.
What a sucker Kevin is.
Is that the truth?
Oh, my God.
I'm Rob Carmen. I watch Showbiz Beat.
You are listening... sorry. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 918.
Choked on a piece of Barbaro there, did you?
Yeah.
Hey, if you go to krock.com, which you should, by the way, because you're going to see the video that we're about to talk about right here, don't skip past the front page. Go ahead and click on the link where you can help out the victims of the Southern California wildfires by giving to the Red Cross. If you want to give to the Red Cross of L.A. County, Orange County, or San Diego Imperial Counties, they could definitely use your help. There's also some other great charities on there, Salvation Army. There's a couple of charities that are helping place animals that have been evacuated. So there's some good information at krock.com. If there's anything you need help with or can help, just go to the front page and click on the links.
And then after you do that important thing, then go to the Kevin and Beans video page and watch something that's ridiculous. Our intern Beer Mug, who has that nickname because he has a beer mug tattooed on the top of his foot.
Yes, I do.
Was at the Kings game. And you know how they have a Dance for Your Dinner contest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the contestants. And he was a dancing mofo.
It was great.
Yeah. How do you get to be selected as one of the contestants, Beer Mug?
Well, of course, I'm out on the patio, the Staples Center, getting my drink on.
Sure.
Doing what I do best.
Right.
And one of the lovely fine ladies from the King's staff approaches me and asks me, hey, how would you like to dance for your dinner to win dinner for your whole row? I said, hell yeah, I'd like to dance for my dinner.
All right, so they have the video, and they've actually sent it over to us so we can put it up at krock.com. This is the announcer telling who they are. His name is Johnny.
The yellow jersey is Johnny. All right, let's give you guys some music and see what we get. All right. It's Family Entertainment.
Now, he says this is Family Entertainment because Beer Mug's first move is the pelvic thrust.
It was great. That's my patented move.
So basically, the announcer is already trying to distance himself from you.
Oh, yeah. It was funny because I wasn't even wearing the yellow jersey yet. I had planned it out, and we'll get to that later.
Sure.
I wasn't even on. I had a Kings jersey on.
Oh,
we'll
I
get
see.
To that.
Okay, and then they played some different music.
All right. Hammer is dead. Let's get song number three.
All right, and they play a third song. And by the way, Johnny Beer Mug at that point is like slapping the other guy's butts, and he's going crazy. And then you took off your jersey.
Oh, yeah.
And you had on like a yellow half shirt. What was that?
Well, Shania Twain was the song that came on, and it actually worked out perfectly. I had the yellow jersey on my tight muscular self.
Sure.
And I took it off and
you
started swinging it around
in
head.
The air.
Yeah. And the crowd loved it.
The crowd went crazy.
Yeah.
Is it Adrian in the white t-shirts? Is it Johnny in the middle? Johnny, congratulations. You've received dinner from Jody Maroney's. Congratulations.
They couldn't get him off quick enough, too, because he was really drunk. He was doing the pelvic thrust the whole time, slapping each other's butts, just jumping around like a crazy man, says hi, mom, to the camera. He's just a general douche.
Good times. It was good times.
Beer Mug, what do you suppose, where's this coming from in your, where was the abuse in your childhood that required you to seek the attention of strangers like this, dancing on camera at a King's event?
How dare you, sir?
Being neglected as a young kid to take dance classes.
I knew there was something there. Okay.
Six. Sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Well, what to do is you pick up the phone, give us a call, get on the air, win a prize today. It's dinner or lunch for two from Subway, along with a pair of tickets to the NHRA Finals. You know, guys, the final race of the NHRA Drag Racing Series is taking place November 1st through the 4th, which is next week at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. You can bet that producer Lightning will be there.
Oh, sure.
You know what I like to do? I like to go stop by Subway first, get myself a big 12-incher.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then go to the,
nicely done.
The NHRA Finals. That's how I like to do it.
That's how you roll.
That's how you roll. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say good morning to Steve in Newport Beach. Good morning, Steve.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby Moose?
Hello.
I got some useless information for Bean about the correct time.
Okay.
You know, you call that number 853-1212 and it gives you the correct time.
Yes. Right.
As of September 19th, it has been discontinued.
Oh. Yeah, well, we saw this coming. I mean, I think California was only one of two states that still even had that service available anymore. So it was only a matter of time before they said goodbye to it.
I guess with cell phones and everything, you don't really need to call the correct time anymore.
Yep.
But then no one has the correct time. That's the problem. I call that all the time, by the way, because I don't like watches.
Because you don't wear a watch, yeah. Right.
I called it all the time.
Is that why you're always punctual to work?
Yes.
Yeah. Because you're constantly checking the correct time.
Thank you for noticing, Ralph. Yeah. Thank you.
You do good work.
But that has been a service that the phone company had offered since way back in the 1920s. And it is, I think it's just Northern California and Nevada are the only places where you can still get that.
All right, Nick in Woodland Hills. Good morning. Hello,
Hi,
Nick.
Guys.
Go, Nick.
Oh, go for Nick. Bad, he wanted... Hello, Nick.
You sure it's not Rick? Maybe that's the
confusion? Rick.
It's Rick. It's Rick.
Oh, hey, Rick. How about
that? Hi, how you doing?
Good.
They actually, Kevin, just so you know, they actually put a name up there. You can just kind of read it right off the screen. It tells you who it is. You don't have to actually guess who the person is.
I was pretty close, though, with Nick,
don't you
think?
Were.
You were. Yeah. You were close. But you could have yelled Nick all
worse.
Day, and he wouldn't have answered.
What's going on, Rick?
I just want to let you guys know, I saw that movie Black Sheep you guys talked about a while ago.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I bought it on DVD yesterday, made my wife watch it. It was the greatest movie ever.
Greatest movie, isn't it? Yes.
I made my wife watch it, too, and she hated me for it. It is awful, but it comes back around to being good.
Spectacular.
The greatest ending you could ever see.
Oh, so funny. The guy, it's a sheep that's a zombie, basically, and they're like chasing this guy down. They're bashing through the doors, and it's fantastic. It's just nuts.
And apparently pot grow lights can kill the zombies.
That's correct. Yeah, that's what I found out in 30 Days of Night or whatever that movie is.
Yesterday I was at Best Buy.
Best Buy!
Thank you. And I saw Black Sheep there on the shelf, and I almost bought it. I almost thought, I may need to own this movie. But I'm going to wait because I know it was a hit, and I know they're probably going to come out with Blacker Sheep and then The Blackest Sheep. And I'm just going to wait for the box set, I think.
So good. The zombie sheep bit the guy in the foot, and his foot hurt, so he pulled off his shoe, and he had a hoof for a foot.
I'm going to wear sheep.
Come on. Yeah. That was awesome. All right, let's say good morning to Casey in Anaheim. Good morning, Casey.
What's up, party people? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Casey.
Hey, when Ralph was given the list of the manliest men,
yes. Right,
I heard yesterday on Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, your pal Ryan Seacrest is number 27.
What kind of
a joke list is this?
Wait a minute.
This is from AskMen.com, the website.
It's from AskMen.com.
Are you sure it's not? Are you sure it's not AskGayMen.com?
It could be. Could be. Maybe they left something out.
Because really, the manliest. You can say whatever you want about him, but not manliest.
Ryan should be much higher on that list.
Higher?
Yeah.
Meaning more manly?
By manly, you mean guys who like men?
No, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
No, that's it.
David Beckham's number one on that list.
Yeah.
He just oozes testosterone.
Especially when he has a ponytail. I'm so happy to be here in the United States. We're looking forward to living here in Southern California, and I can't wait to kick a ball around on a grass field. Oh, I got hurt. Oh, I must lay down now. I'll take a nap.
Eric and Whittier, good morning.
What a do, nephews?
What a do.
I've got some good news.
All right. Great.
I am trying to break a Guinness World Record this weekend, but okay. I need help.
What is it that you're doing?
I am trying to break, legitimately, the Guinness World Record for most people hugged in 1 hour.
That's my record! That's the record I'm trying to break!
That's our sign holder,
right?
So you want to break the record for the most hugs in an hour?
That's correct. It's only 667 right now.
Seems like a lot of hugs.
Are you kidding me?
That is a lot
of hugs. That's a lot of hugs. But I am currently a college student at Whittier, and I think I can get the numbers, and they need people in Los Angeles to help them.
But Eric, how do you look through that whole Guinness book and say, that's the one I can break, hugs?
Well, all the other ones are unbelievably unbeatable, like how many cockroaches can you eat in a minute?
Right, sure.
Right.
So hug one stood out.
Eric, is this just your attempt at rubbing up against women?
Just grabbing some ass.
Yeah, it's copping a feel.
Yeah.
That's it.
Look, Look, I'm moderately attractive, and the fact that I might get to hug 400 women plus 400 dudes, that's fine, you know?
Okay.
Now, it's like 10 hugs a minute.
More, yeah. It's like 11 or 12. What,
not very many, then.
What are the rules? I mean, what's involved in a hug? You have to put both arms all the way around them, or what do you have to do?
A genuine embrace, qualified by Guinness World Records, means that the arms have to completely wrap around the person, and the event actually has to be adjudicated by people of social standing in the community, and I have the mayor coming. But also another stipulation is I can't move for the entire 60 minutes.
All right, but wait a minute.
They have to come to you?
They have to come to me.
Did you say you have the mayor coming?
The mayor is coming.
Which mayor? Of what city?
The mayor of Whittier.
He doesn't have more
good
important
one.
Things to do than
that's
you.
Like a part-time job, right, Mayor Whittier?
All right, so you have to stand in one location, and 600 people or whatever it is have to walk by you. They have to come up, and you hug them, and then they move on.
That's correct.
And where are you doing ever. This?
This is on the upper quad at Whittier College this coming Saturday at 2:30.
Okay.
2:30, upper quad, Whittier College.
Now, if only 222 people show up for something, can you hug them three times each? Can they get back in line?
No repeat hugs allowed.
No repeats.
No repeats.
You're screwed, my friend.
So what are you going to do? I mean, it's only an hour, but what are you going to do if you show up and there's only 300 people there? You have to give up. You can't do it, right?
I'm going to stand there for the entire hour with hopes that the Kevin and Bean audience will be there eventually.
We're not urging anyone to do this. It seems silly.
This is dumb.
I urge you to change your mindset there.
Okay. This guy in Whittier wants to hug you and get into the
football. Have the mayor call out the troops. Doesn't Whittier have its own army?
Good. Sure.
Whittier. Bring in the Whittier army.
Whittier's known for their army.
Yeah.
Hey, they've never been attacked.
That's
I'll tell you
true.
That.
Solid defensively.
Hug them.
Well, listen, good luck with that, and call us on Monday and let us know how it went, okay?
No, don't need to know.
No, I'm interested to find out how it went.
Really, let me tell you, I know how it goes. I know how the story ends.
Yeah,
it doesn't,
so do I.
Doesn't come off.
Yeah, he doesn't get 668. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
No.
I think Eric will appreciate that Dave the King of Mexico has legitimately actually set two Guinness World Records for the most consecutive hours watching television, and we screwed up both times in getting it to getting the proof that they needed to give him the record and put him in the book.
He's been denied twice.
Oh, man, I hope that doesn't happen.
He's been denied twice.
Oh,
you
it'll
have to,
happen,
they're
Aaron.
Really super picky, just so you know.
Remember the Armenian comedian tried to break the haircutting record?
Yep.
And we aborted him about halfway through?
We did.
Because he was ruining the business.
We had to
business.
Close it down. There were people crying.
He broke the rules in, like, the second haircut. explicitly told him what he needed to do.
Yeah, he's pulling out the electric clippers, like, 4 minutes in.
We had to explain that at length, and it didn't make any difference.
All right, Eric, good luck to you. Seriously, call us on the Monday.
Seriously, though.
I want to thank our very special guest, Tara Patrick, for joining us.
Someone sent me a photograph of Tara Patrick, scantily clad, modeling in front of a 1966 Batmobile.
Oh, that's got everything.
Oh, wow. Perfect for you.
And that person owes me a new pair of pants because I blew a hole out in these.
Oh, wow.
That's how excited I got.
That's the best porn ever
it
for
really
Ralph Garman.
Really
wow.
Is. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, Tara has so much going on, including appearances this weekend in San Francisco and Las Vegas on Halloween, and the clothing line, the new DVD series and everything. Go to clubtara.com. I think she needs to be a regular weekly guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. I got to tell you, it's
weekly.
Criminal that we haven't had her in more often.
Well, okay.
How about news, sports?
Does she do sports?
Traffic.
Does she do traffic? Does she do my job?
Showbiz.
Any of the above. Tomorrow morning an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to talk to people who have Tourette's. I don't know if you saw South Park, not this past one that was the most effed up one ever, Imagination Land, but the one before that where there was this.
Big Wayne Slammer. That's pretty cool. Karate kick, power force, and bendable neck.
Ma'am, is that your son over there?
Yes, I'm sorry. My son has Tourette syndrome.
Tourette syndrome?
It's a neurological disorder. He can't control what he says.
I want that. Badly.
You have that.
You have
You just don't.
You can't control just, what you say.
That's true.
Ask Sean Penn. He'll tell you whether you have it or not.
How common is Tourette's? I don't believe I know anyone who has it.
I don't either.
It most usually, if I believe the research, it manifests itself as facial tics and physical tics much more so than it does the verbal tics.
Right.
But we like the verbal one.
That's the most fun.
Because that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get that from other people, too, by the way. You can catch it. Also,
I'm
tomorrow,
pretty sure you can't.
You can't?
I'm pretty sure you can't.
Also, tomorrow we have some clips of Chris Angel's show, Phenomenon, because he's
Phenomenon.
He's bound to be bad. I'll tell you about a 106-year-old Asian guy that got married.
Hey.
Robbed the cradle with an 86-year-old woman.
Wow.
We'll give you some new websites on the Internet Roundup. And also K-Rock's Creep Show. We've got some tickets for you tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And
and Jerry Seinfeld.
What's the best thing on what's the best thing on tomorrow's show? 7:30 tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, I wonder who that's about. The surprise.
Ralph
has lined up a surprise.
I have a surprise break for everyone.
Now, it's Kevin's a Halloween all nervous. Treat. He's all nervous about it, but I think he's going to be pleased with it. I mean, legitimately, I think he's going to be happy. Don't you, Ralph?
I predict at the end of that segment, Kevin will come up to me and throw his arms around me in a passionate embrace.
But then why am I the only one that doesn't know what it is? See, that's a bad sign to me. It should be a red flag. You'd be worried about
it
if you did not.
Christmas presents are bad, Kevin, because you don't know what's underneath the paper? Is that
no,
the way you think?
Surprises are always so that the person can't argue.
You unwrap that paper Christmas morning. Oh, look at this. How cool is this? A talking monkey.
$10. $10 says I'm going to throw my arms around you. Is that
absolutely
what you're saying?
Absolutely. Right. Yes.
Look, the last time you guys pulled a surprise on me, you had astronaut Buzz Aldrin on the phone. You didn't tell me.